It's Tuesday, the 21st day of August, 2012. I'm Alex Jones, and this is going to be a massive edition of InfoWars Nightly News. Straight ahead.
Tonight, a former Marine gets detained in a psychiatric ward over 9/11 Facebook post. Then, the U.S. Army grants $3 million for anti-suicide nasal spray research. Plus, an Alabama man fights with authorities to keep his wife buried in the front yard. And finally, Douglas Hagman discusses the Obama dictatorship as the thought police kidnap a talk show host.
As much as you say, look, I don't want a shooting war. I don't want that chaos. I don't want to fire the shot. As much as you say that, they're on the other side pushing, well, no, we're going to foment this chaos. We're going to take it. We're going to exploit that.
All that and more up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
All right, let's jump straight into the news and then my review of the Bourne Legacy that I watched with the TV crew last night. Simply amazing. The review is coming up at the end of the news segment before we have our guest in studio and then interview our guest via Skype as well. Again, Jakari Jackson in studio coming up. All right, first off, federal court rules banksters can steal pensions. Kurt Nemo wrote this article. The Sentinel ruling has legalized the theft of segregated customer funds and pensions by large banks and financial institutions. Ann Bernhardt points out that the ruling sets the stage for bankster consolidation ahead of an economic collapse. It's not just this ruling. The feds came out and said, we're not going to prosecute, because those very feds that head up the agencies formerly worked for, John Corzine, the governor, the advisor to Obama. Billions of dollars missing. He got caught lying to Congress, and they say, we're not going to do anything to him. So get ready. And if you get mad about it, the Army's standing by with martial law to kill you and your family. They work for the foreign bankers now, and they tell you on the news. So sit down and shut up. All right, moving along to the next story here. Thought police kidnap talk show host. Douglas J. Hagman wrote the story for HomelandSecurityUS.com. We're going to talk to him about this when he's coming up here in about an hour or so. A big show tonight lined up. But first off on this issue, I talked to the guy today on air this happened to. He just said, yeah, things are about to collapse. I'm going to get more guns to protect myself. Oh, no, we're going to go put you in a mental institution. And we have another report of this happening. Former Marine indefinitely detained in psychiatric ward over 9/11 Facebook post. And it goes over the whole report, and there's video that his family shot when they came to get him. Because he said there's going to be a revolution in this country against tyranny. So, hey, the Mexican mafia wants to cut off a few hundred heads in Arizona. That's okay. Corzine wants to steal your bank account. That's okay. Autism goes from 1 in 25,000 to 1 in 58. Pediatric cancer off the chart. They admit they put fluoride in the water to give you cancer. That's okay. But they're going to come after you if you don't like it. So, again, you sit down and you shut up. Mitt Romney's going to save you, don't worry. All right, let's move on to the next story here. U.S. Army grant, $3 million for anti-suicide nasal spray research. Yeah, you just inject the serious psychotropic drug into your spinal cord. They're already trying that out, but now they've developed it to spray up their nasal cavity after you've served 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 tours that no one in history's ever done. After you've been involved in all this, they're testing amnesics on them, you name it. They spray this nasal spray up their nose. The U.S. Army has awarded a scientist at Indiana University School of Medicine $3 million to develop a nasal spray that eclipses suicidal thoughts, because there's record numbers committing suicide. You know, instead of talking about how this is evil and how morally when you do something wrong, even if you buy the propaganda, your body attacks you, your body hits a self-destruct mode. It's like, you're bad for humanity. Kill yourself. We need to save and rehabilitate these troops and not let the globalist chicken hawks that are running around engaging in all this evil and who ran from the Vietnam War and other conflicts, send these young men and women off. I mean, the guy that was on psychotropics, Sergeant Bales, that reportedly killed 18 people in Afghanistan, he had his foot partially blown off. They put a prosthesis on him and said, fourth tour, You're going back in. Then he had some run-ins with the cops before they sent him back. They said, we don't care. Send him back in. And they put him on psychotropics, which cause you to have psychotic breaks, and you wonder why he did what he did. And now when these guys come back and go haywire, their comment is, well, we're going to take your Second Amendment away to protect you from the military. So an incredible report. All-time high of troops taking their own lives. More of them are taking their lives than are killed in combat. Because when you go over there and grow opium and watch it loaded on C-130s to fly into America, then your wife gets pulled over and they want to search your car for drugs, I mean, you start realizing you're working for Satan. Our military is full of great men and women, but our country has been taken over by the likes of Hitler, Stalin, and Mao. And they said to the Germans, hey, be patriotic, let the military do this, or you're against the troops. When they should have said, no, we're against Hitler. It's really simple. This country's about to go from really evil to ultra evil. They got the re-education camps ready. They got it all set up. It's admitted in army manuals. This isn't a joke. Now's the time to get upset and recognize what's happening. My God, thousands of troops every few months are blowing their heads off. I mean, it's off the charts, the level of suicide. A lot of the troops that are involved for the UN commit suicide because the UN goes around running white slavery child kidnapping rings. I mean, you sign on to Sandusky Incorporated and you're not pure evil, you self-destruct. What you ought to worry about is the troops that are evil enough to get into this. They're the ones they hire to become cops. But the ones that have a soul end up committing suicide, so we'll just give them amnesiacs and other psychotropics that change their brain. They're now talking about injectable viruses. In fact, I meant to mention this before the show. Guys, look up anti-stress vaccine. And it's not even vaccine. They just call it vaccine because you know the name. It's nanotech, artificially engineered viruses. They debate whether viruses are alive or not. They're not really alive because they reproduce, but there's nothing really, there's not moving parts in there. It's just programming that goes into RNA. They inject the DNA. The RNA is injected into the DNA. And to make a long story short here, for more than a decade, the globalists brag in their internal documents and public ones that aren't widely circulated, you can look this up, that they are going to spray over cities and other areas viruses that make you not get upset anymore. When your kids are being taken away or you can't get a job, or you don't have enough food, they spray you with stuff that goes in and the viruses eat key areas of the cerebral cortex and other areas of the brain where you can't get upset anymore. And they're now marketing it as an anti-stress vaccine. Hey, you're upset working 12 hours a day in a factory? Hey, you're upset about the world you live in? Don't worry. We got a vaccine. You know what it does? It's got a virus, there's different variants of it, that go in and eat areas of your brain so that you can't be upset anymore. But here's the problem. You also can't feel joy anymore because the receptors they attack are the ones that absorb endorphins. Now, when I successfully defeat a globalist, I get an endorphin rush. It's like a drug because you're meant to be satisfied when you do something good. Well, or when you go for a jog and you hit the 3-mile mark and you hit that second wind, that's an endorphin. These things destroy those areas and turn you into biological androids. Who needs synthetic police officers that are robots when we've got biological ones? They're now rolling out synthetic ground drones. Who needs Air Force pilots when you've got sky drones? Well, who needs ground robots when you've got biological android humans? And that's what's happening here. That's what's unfolding. This isn't science fiction. This is 2012. This is happening now. And this is the end of free will we're talking about because the globalists have said they're already engineering vaccines into the pharmacological crops where you can't avoid it. They're Trojan horsing this stuff into a lot of the crops, just like they Trojan horse stuff into cell phones and computers and admit it. And now, I mean, I saw a story in Wired magazine 10 years ago. It was called The Marshall Plan. And it was in the future, it won't be what weapons we have, but what drugs we're on. And you read the article by Marshall, the head futurist at the Pentagon. He was like 80-something years old at the time. And it's about what drugs they put the troops on. Yeah, like methamphetamine in the last 60 years for pilots. Well, who needs that? They've now got robots to fly the plane. But now they're shifting over into these viruses they inject into the troops that literally eat their brain, and now they're just an unthinking, mindless drone who can still have a conversation with their wife, but the wife's going to notice that when she says, go clean the kitchen, he's going to do it. The wife's going to notice if she said, stick your hand in the blender, he's going to do it. Can you imagine when these guys are back here? You're already seeing it. You tell them an order, they do it. This is mass mind control. And it's rolling out. This is so off the charts, the world we live in. Truth is so much stranger than fiction. So here they are in the news talking about nasal sprays, because everybody's killing themselves because what they're doing is so immoral. And it's one thing to get the propaganda back at home. It's another thing to actually live it, to actually see the truth where the rubber meets the road. So what is their answer? Well, it's drug them. And I went last night and I saw with the part of the crew The Bourne Legacy. Let me tell you, this is one of the best movies I've ever seen, because it was so incredibly accurate from start to finish about how we're being surveilled, how we're being tracked, how our rights are being trampled, how there are admitted government mind control programs that use the soldiers as absolute garbage. From all my study of MKUltra, MKNaomi, the latest technology, the scientists I've interviewed, the medical papers they publish, this movie was like reality. It was like a documentary. I mean, I'm getting chills right now. Tony Gilroy. I want to get Tony Gilroy, who wrote the screenplay for the first three and directed. This person wrote the screenplay and then directed this film. It's even better than the first three. And I'm watching it, and it was amazing, because it's everything we've reverse engineered on the big screen. They've got, when they want to get rid of government employees, when they're canceling the program, they activate one of the doctors who's been programmed with the drugs, with an overlay of viral injections, where on the drugs and with a CAT scan, they're able to map the viruses to only destroy certain areas of the brain, which would stop you from not killing people like Prozac does chemically. They take basically Prozac with the virus, and it kills your inhibition. And with program words, you have to activate. You have to be, you know, do what you're told. They inject it in their spine to first program them with it, which is actually in the article about injecting our troops in the spine with the chemical so they don't remember what they did and so they don't commit suicide. I mean, I'm reading mainstream articles today that are admitting what's actually in this movie. I'm telling you, I've never seen something like this. I mean, I got to tell you, I've never seen something like this where a movie is so damn accurate. And I got to tell you, this really shakes me up, because I've talked to a lot of Hollywood folks where they're able to sneak certain things through. They're not all operatives, but the globalists had to know what this was, an adaptation of a Ludlum book rewritten by Tony Gilroy. We got to look into this guy, because let me tell you, just like Spinal Tap, Dave Mustaine told me once, is basically a true story about Aerosmith, it's real. This is real. It's just a reenactment of what's really going on. I mean, right now, I can hardly even continue. It's so off the chart, because this is what we're facing. And it's the M.O. from the shooting in outside Denver. It's the M.O. from the shooting in Wisconsin. It's always the same story. And this is real, folks. 20 years ago, they had situations where you could have rats that were remote control with one brain chip and a wire out of their head, and the rat with a camera would go into rubble and stuff for look for people. They had cockroaches 20 years ago that were remote control with one chip. But they don't want that, because they've got to be on-site controlling you. Real programming is with training, operant conditioning, drugs with a viral overlay. Because, oh, they can give us vaccines where we don't get upset and submit. They can give you a vaccine where you don't feel pain when you run 20 miles. They can take the governor away. And that's what this whole film is about. It's got mind control that's very accurate, mass shooting being staged, viruses being used that are really nanotech as the cutting edge of control. It's got government special forces hit teams coming and posing as FBI to do a suicide evaluation on the woman and trying to kill her. Spoiler alert, exactly how they kill people. I mean, I've talked to folks that police that have covered government hits in L.A. and New York, and they say that's exactly how they do it. It's how they killed Terrence Yakey. I mean, it's just incredible. That's basically it. The new film is amazing, The Bourne Legacy. And by the way, I've seen idiots out there that you know, watch this that we produce and give to our PrisonPlanet.tv viewers that we then present to everybody else, say, oh, he's reviewing films. He must be paid by them. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not paid to review these films. That's why I've done negative reviews of some films. I've done quasi, you know, positive reviews of others. I mean, I go see films. Film is the art of the day. It is where the messages are. And then, and we're reviewing this, okay? That's what's happening. It's not an advertising for this film. Though, my true review is the ultimate advertisement. Because I'm telling you, I've slept, drunk, eaten, worked, researched this information for 19 years, 17 on air. And this film makes me think the establishment may be waking up because it's real. I mean, how did this get on television? That's all, or it'll be on television later. How did this get in the movies? How did this happen? It's just amazing. You know, this is teleprompter free. My phone continues to just ring and ring and ring over and over again. Hello? I know I'm supposed to be there for dinner right now, but the show's on. I'm running a little bit late today. I'll be there very, very soon. I got to go because you're calling over and over again, sweetheart. All right. here. Say hi to everybody. Did you hear that in there? Hey, all right, listen, I got to go. I'll call you back when I'm done in a minute. And we're just real people covering real news here. All right, I'm done. The point is, I should have written notes while I was in the film. There were just so many amazing points in it. And, wow, I'm a big fan of this director and screenwriter. What's that do? Oh, yeah, well, we have a whole other stack of news here we got to hit. Speaking of engineering of society, before I get to the quote of the day, I wanted to show people a big stack of news I had on the attack on the family that's going on as well. So many documents and so little time here. Here it is. Here it is. I found it. Let's go ahead and get to this right here. Okay. Asexuals, the fourth sexual orientation. And it goes on to break down people who want absolutely no sex and have no desire of any type. This is what they want to engineer into us. Because if they can kill that, they kill our basic instinct, because everything is based on that procreation and taking care of the youth. Then they have this woman right here in this article about the woman who wants to abolish sex. And this has always been the goal of the globalist. Have women hate men, have men hate women, mix around the sexual roles. And again, I'm not attacking someone that is sexually confused. I'm not, you know, uptight and obsessed with that. But they shove it like, oh, be reasonable, give everybody their rights. They go into children in school and try to program them that having kids is bad, that abortion is good, that abortion is sexy. You know, I had an abortion. I'm Gloria Steinem. Get one today. Men are bad. You know, Heather has two mommies. Bobby has two daddies. So these little kids get confused. I mean, you don't see them going out to the woods and teaching bears, hey, you know, there's two bear daddies, or going to the pigs, hey, there's two boar daddies. They are literally trying to play God. This is tyrants who are sick of losing under revolts, who have become scientific in their eugenics. And it's how sexy and trendy it is to not have sex and to end men and how men aren't needed. And this is all over the Daily Mail and other papers pushing this. And this is just stuff from one day. Under Obamacare, 15-year-olds may get free sterilizations without parental consent. And next it'll be 12-year-olds. And they're already giving vaccines to kids without parental consent in California. Continuing here just with the last day or so of news. No sex, please. We are humans. UK Indian geneticist expert says immaculate conception is possible. And after they've sterilized most people through the food with the GMO and everything, you'll have to go to them to have a baby. And they're saying, oh, we have babies now with three or four parents. And, oh, we're going to get rid of those traits for aggression, not just cancer. See, so now it's an engineered baby. They have to make you where you can have children first naturally so they can take control scientifically and put whatever Trojan horses they want in and play God. That's what this is all about. So there that is. This is just the last day. They are pushing this. The recipe for happiness. What do you do with people that actually have a family? Well, you tell them it's normal. Most men and women who are married, they say, go out and have a bunch of sexual partners. Of course, statistically, that ends up ruining the marriages and causing problems. But they don't tell you that. They go, oh, they got all these websites where there's all these women and men just waiting to have sex with you. And how romantic the two are, meeting, having fun, having a dinner and drinks and then sex. But both of them are married, just not to each other. And so you need to go out and do this right now. I mean, I'm married, but I should just be out there running around immediately trying to just have sex for no reason. Forget children, forget commitment, forget life. Just make troops serve eight tours till they all commit suicide. It's healthy. We'll just shoot a nasal spray that eats their brain out. And we got a vaccine where you won't ever have emotions again. Come on, there's nothing wrong here with this picture. And they just push it like it's all normal, like we're social animals. They'll just go, oh, well, it's on television that I should give my five-year-old Ritalin that brain damages them and causes their heart to swell and heart attacks because the television said so. And look right here. Oh, yeah, look at this, a recipe for happiness, an enduring marriage and an affair with lots of sex. Yeah, absolutely. You got kids at home, you're bored. Listen, government sociologists, they say it's just go out there and just start cheating immediately. This is the way to keep marriages. Because, you know, we told you how to keep your marriage together, so we cause everybody to break up. Well, now those few that stay married, here's the answer. Go out and have a bunch of sex and come home and give your wife or husband a disease. People are like, come on, Alex, you can't handle sex. You know what? You people haven't even been around the block that think that, okay? Anybody that's actually been out there and been wild and crazy knows it takes all the fun out of it when you got three girlfriends at one time. Yeah, that stuff may work when you're 18 years old. It doesn't work later in life, and it destroys families, and it's a dead end. It's a damn dead end. So don't sit there, all you that haven't lived, and tell me about how manly you are. Anybody that's actually lived knows it's a dead end. How many rock stars do you know that'll tell you that? Well, you don't know rock stars, so you wouldn't know that. It's this whole Hollywood image they're trying to sell you of how you're going to be fulfilled by this, and you're not going to be fulfilled. Our whole species is based on men and women together and procreation and the family and the natural order, and the whole thing's under attack, and that's why our society is falling apart. So all of you scientists trying to screw our kids up and trying to sexualize them when they're five-year-old, you're a bunch of Sanduskies. You're a bunch of perverts, and you know it. You will be defeated, trash. All these weapons, all these viruses, all this mind control, it's going to end up blowing back on you. And those of us that are resistant to it are going to inherit the earth. You understand that? And we will bring you to justice. Here's a final story. Cops interrogate family for allowing kids to play outside. In this world where they're trying to teach five-year-olds about men doing things medically to each other that can kill you, all over the country, I've seen the CPS cases, kids in backyards playing, the neighbors call, because they're supposed to be inside watching the television set all day long, watching all the violence, watching all the brainwashing, watching it and watching it. You're not supposed to be outside. We're going to go to break and come back with Shikari Jackson. Shikari Jackson is going to be in the studio with us, breaking down a whole bunch of different news articles. And we've got Dan Badani tomorrow. And then we're also going to get the head of the Northeast Intelligence Group, Doug Haglund, via Skype with us coming up. So stay with us. It's InfoWars Nightly News. I am Alex Jones, dedicated to humanity, dedicated to decency and not letting a bunch of crazy control freak nihilists take control of human development just so they can play God and jack our food and water and screw up society because they're a bunch of twisted freaks. I'm here to say to humanity, activate your survival mechanism now. Rally with information. Recognize these people for who they are and rise together as humanity towards the stars. It's that or total destruction. These globalists will destroy us and themselves if we don't stop them. We'll be right back. It's InfoWars Nightly News. Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals. But the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com. And we are back. It's InfoWars Nightly News. I am very excited because two of the six reporters that we are in the process of hiring and getting down here have now arrived. The next month or so, the rest are phasing in. Extremely exciting because they're all intelligent, focused, and have their own perspective on the world. And it's bringing just a lot of energy to an already very energized InfoWars Command Center here in Austin, Texas. And for reports on the radio, for voiceovers, for TV, and in the future to host the Nightly News and other shows, we're going to start producing. Jakari Jackson from Oklahoma, who's almost done with college up there, already working in RTF, came down to Austin, Texas, living the American dream, a rugged individual down here taking a risk. Rugged individualism, man, we like that. He's here with us. Now I wanted to interview you tonight, so just having a guest on Skype, because I wanted to just talk briefly about what you think of the InfoWars Command Center. Just been here about a day and a half.
Yeah.
Then we got a few news items that kind of caught your eye today that we're going to be breaking down. But Jakari Jackson, welcome to the InfoWars family.
Oh, thank you, Alex. Good to be here.
It's awesome. You were the winner, for those that are tuning in, of the InfoWars Reporter Contest. And here you are. We've also got Dan Bedondi, who's going to be in studio with us.
Hey, Dan.
Tomorrow night, covering a few reports. And just a really awesome, cool crowd. A very diverse crowd, but all bound together in liberty. We got folks from Rhode Island, Oklahoma, California, you name it, all coming into the InfoWars Command Center. And it's teleprompter free. So talk about
teleprompter free.
Talk about being thrown into the deep end, my friend. I mean, you are here, but I tell you, you nail it. So good to have you.
Thank you. Thank you, Alex. Yeah, it is being thrown into the deep end. I won the InfoWars Reporter Contest and interviewed Alex for the first time, or, you know, got to speak to you live on the radio. And he said, "You ready to come down here?" I was like, "Can we talk about the job first before I come down?" But, it's been good. It's been a great experience meeting the guys. Got to meet Dan Bedondi the other day and met Rob and some of the other guys the first time I came down to interview. And that was a great experience. Alex took me out, drove me around in his Charger. So it was cool. It wasn't, too big of a decision to make, too difficult of a decision to make.
Well, I tell you, it's fate and part of God's greater plan that you're here and all the other great reporters that are coming in. We're going to be able to really expand the show, codify it for viewers out there, and then start launching it out on the television, even though some cable networks and systems are grabbing the archive of it and then editing it themselves and putting on air like 2 hours a week on basic cable in England. Paul Watson can go into his living room and turn it on and watch it. So we're having incredible success thanks to all of you spreading the word.
Alex, can I ask you this? Now, I know we're teleprompter free and impromptu. I was contacted by some of the, you know, the other finalists in the top 10, and they were just kind of wondering what your thoughts were, if you're going to try to keep in contact with them, or if you want them to do, you know, send you stuff, or, you know, just a thought.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up. That's why it's freeform in here. We have to, I mean, you saw it, just to interview, hire, fly in, people moving in, you know, getting apartments, houses.
Yeah.
It's a big deal just to hire six reporters, even for a good-sized company.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get to that next level, and we want to have correspondence. We'd like to be able to pay hundreds of reporters, but it's a money issue.
Yeah.
You see me half the time running around here just trying to get the coal for the engine here.
Yeah.
But all of the reporters were amazing, hundreds of them. Mm-hmm. And, yes, we want them to be correspondents. They can go out now and do reports and you know, say reporting for InfoWars.com. Really, don't wait for orders from headquarters. Go to the sound of the guns. Back in the old days, before they had radio and things, there'd be battles going on, and other groups had to go, you know, march to meet them.
Yeah.
And they'd say, hey, you just hear the big guns going off?
That's just where you go.
Go to that, because this is a grassroots situation. I mean, I'm trying to learn television. I've been doing it 17 years. I did it as an amateur.
Yeah.
So it's really a laboratory. That's what InfoWars.com is a laboratory to develop talented people that love liberty to go out and report on what's really happening.
Okay.
I mean, our job's not hard, really. I mean, so much of it's even in the mainstream media. They're just like, isn't it good kids are getting microchips and hand scanning to buy and sell? Isn't it good that cancer rates have exploded? And by the way, the fluoride is killing you. But, you know, I mean, they admit it's happening.
Yeah.
So much of our job is just having the energy, the focus, the passion to try to wait. But see, I'm supposed to be interviewing you.
Hey, this is good.
Get the teleprompter over here. I can't talk without it.
Man, there is no teleprompter in this building. I can attest to that.
But, I mean, in the old days, you know, news reporters just had the news. They'd read a few quotes and then give you their take on it. But enough of me. Other questions? Because I like the fact you're starting to interview me. Go ahead.
Oh, man. How do you do it, Alex? You know, I was watching you earlier today, and you do the show, live radio show, and then you come out and you handle your business in between your segments. You come out here, hey, Rob, I need to do this. You know, can you guys do that? And you go back in the show, and you don't miss a beat, and you go right back into it.
And unfortunately, I get so busy sometimes. I have a guest on, and I get the phone and got them on mute, and I'm sitting there, you know, calling. That's why I need to get a team in here of folks like yourself and get everybody trained to just learn what I've learned. Not that I have all the answers. Show that even if they kill me, God forbid, or I get struck by a bolt of lightning or die in a car wreck tonight, I have planned to try to keep this place going.
That's good.
I mean, that's my goal, because I realized about 6 years ago that there was nobody else even doing it at the level I was. Mm. And I wasn't arrogant thinking we were doing a great job.
Yeah.
I mean, quite frankly, a lot of what I do is like nails on a chalkboard, but I'm trying my best. And I realized, wow, if I've already gotten to this level, I've got a responsibility to try to go all the way. And everything we've tried has succeeded, thanks to the good Lord above and supporters out there. That God works through.
Great viewers, yeah.
So I think we've got a shot at just really continuing to expand, but also inspiring others. Because when we raise the mark, that raises the mark for other people.
Yeah.
And so that's what's happening.
People are really stepping up. I saw some great submissions in the reporter contest, and some people have gone on and kept making their videos, and I think that's...
Well, see, a lot of it is we're just busy for weeks trying to watch 600 videos. Yeah. Now that you're here and others are here, everybody's learning to multitask. I mean, Rob Dews, the news director, he's back here even with his blown knee. You know, he's even back here trying to move stuff around. He's showing you guys the camera shots. I mean, it's a process. So as soon as we get 6-7 more people that are really trained and know how to do basic stuff, boom, then we can bring in even more people.
Oh, okay.
And then just keep, you know.
Keep building up.
To the point of those of us that have really mastered things, we can just do pure research and pure news. Instead of, I walk around picking up people's coffee cups and stuff.
He really does. He went and got me a cup of water my first day here. So,
well, but that's what it's all about, because you've got, my wife's always saying, you got to hire a manager. We've hired managers before, and managers can do certain things. But when it is so grassroots and so fluid, there aren't people that know this stuff. I mean, this is true grassroots media. We're redrawing the designs here. And so it is... A work in progress.
Work in progress.
Any other questions?
I'm good for right now, Alex.
Are you in? Well, I mean, I guess Oklahoma's hot, so you're used to 110 degrees.
It's this big myth. It's no hotter in Austin, Texas than it is in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, it is a little bit hotter in Dallas, But the difference between Austin and Tulsa, when I flew back to Tulsa, when I stepped off that plane, that heat just hit me. I was like, this is what heat is. I mean, it gets hot in Austin, but not as hot as it does in Tulsa. So it wasn't too much of a culture shock for me, no.
Austin does not get as cold as Dallas in the winter.
Okay,
so
I can believe that.
So I guess that is the difference. I bet Tulsa gets pretty darn cold. I've been up there.
It can get cold. We had ice storm back in 2008. You know.
Yeah, and people die in those ice storms.
Yeah, I mean.
You know the answer, ban ice storms. Bill Gates is working on that.
There's your global warming, the ice storm in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we had I don't know how many consecutive days of, 100-degree heat. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Now, I'm supposed to be interviewing you. I'll guarantee you on YouTube it'll be, shut up, Jones, shut up. I mean, that's like a popular meme. I mean, it's a minority of folks that complain like that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you can't argue with success, but I'm here. You're asking the questions now.
You know, the number one thing I see on YouTube as far as your videos, everybody talks about Zionist, Zionist, Zionist. I mean, this is impromptu, teleprompter free. If you can just throw something out, can you explain a little bit about the Zionists? Do you know anything about that?
Well, I'll tell you, when I've talked about the Zionists, that makes all of the anti-Zionists even more angry.
Okay.
Because they're invested in the fact that they believe, that I work for Israel or something.
Okay.
And those same groups, the whole anti-Zionist thing, it's very complex.
Okay.
There are some people that are reasonably mad at some of the things Israel's doing, which have been compared to apartheid in South Africa.
Okay.
And it is pretty darn close to that. It's tribal warfare going on. And I've always been critical of things like that.
Explain it.
And then I have the whole kind of ADL Israel lobby viciously after me.
Right.
And then all these white supremacist groups, I mean, you name them, you go to their websites, they're not talking about Benjamin Netanyahu, they're not talking about Jesse Jackson, they're talking about me.
Alex Jones.
Oh, I mean, I am like the number one thing. And I've figured out why that is. It's because the feds have been caught, and so have the other subgroups running those. So I've got them attacking me, and then the groups they're running attacking me, because what they're really afraid of is the American people just get together for the Bill of Rights and Constitution.
Yeah, they don't want that.
And so, as Cass Sunstein at the White House said, he goes, we'll pose as the opposition and radicalize it where it's so nasty nobody joins it. So we got a website about, hey, they're funding Al-Qaeda to attack Syria, this is wrong. They're like, shut up, you Jewish agent. You know, and I'm, well, wait a minute. We don't want Al-Qaeda attacking Syria
right.
And starting a big war. What's that have to do with I'm supposedly a Jewish agent? Shut up, you're a Jewish agent. And but basically, by tracking them over the years, I figured out most of them are actually operatives. So it's just the nastiest thing they can throw in the middle of it. I'm like, hey, General Motors got paid $22 billion to move our jobs over to China and Brazil, and they're there going, shut up, we know you work for the Jews, we're going to kill you. And you're like, but they paid to move the jobs to Brazil.
Yeah.
Shut up!
I got the articles right here.
But it's the nastiest thing. It's like, I hate to have a gross analogy, but it's the only one that works. It's like we got this big punch bowl of truth, common sense. Everybody wants to climb in and get a cup of it.
Yeah.
Maybe even somebody put some Everclear in there or something. I mean, this is a big old nice. Yeah, Marcos says he did. Marcos Morales in there. And so it's a big party's about to happen.
Okay.
And the New World Order goes over. He goes, what's the nastiest thing we can do? Well, let's just start screaming a bunch of anti-Semitic stuff. And then they just take a big old crap in the punch bowl. It was actually a 9/11 truth meeting one time up on a rooftop. I'm not even going to tell it. And they had somebody show up to break it up. Crapped all over the rooftop.
Wow.
So see, watch out, teleprompter free. I wasn't at that event, but I was told about it. It was pretty amazing.
Okay.
But the whole issue here is it's just the nastiest thing they can do. And they got other stuff, though. They'll like come out and say, Jones is talking about aliens. Well, I don't talk about aliens, or very rarely. Or they'll say, Jones works for the Vatican. See, what they do is they actuary it out, where they know there's a Protestant-Catholic fight going on,
okay.
So they try to put me in the middle of that because I'm not involved in that. Okay. Or there's, huge battle lines, pro-Israel, anti-Israel. Well, I'm trying to really analyze both sides, and both sides are involved in politics and manipulation.
Right.
And I don't try to do that like being a politician. I really talk like I'm thinking, like I'm trying to be reasonable and fair and really know how things work. So it's the fact that I do try to bring people together. It's like one of the guests I had on a few weeks ago, he was bringing up the fact that when Malcolm X was all racial division, the media gave him endless coverage. But as soon as he got away from that, they killed him. Mm-hmm. And it's that same story. They do not want people who are unifying.
As Pinkett?
Pinckney, yeah.
Yeah, Pinckney, yeah.
But that's also well known outside of just his perspective, is that they're scared to death of that. So it's what Cass Sunstein wrote about. He just left, as the White House regulations are, is we'll get in there and just say the nastiest stuff we can. And it also, with kind of camp followers, those that aren't actual operatives but kind of regurgitate it, it's a way to one-up. Like, well, Alex Jones, he didn't build anything. He didn't do anything. Right. It's kind of a you-didn't-build-it statement. This whole place has got Israeli intelligence operatives, you know, running around, running everything. In fact, they're feeding into my ear right now. Well, what do I say now? So that's a joke, but they'll cut that out of context, which is good because people will see the real show and then see how it's out of context. So this stuff was even more effective 5-10 years ago. It isn't now because people have gotten so tuned into trolls and so tuned into disinfo and government and corporate bots that
all over the YouTube page.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like spraying, you know, bugs or whatever. They get resistant. Yeah. So people are resistant now to people trying to make them infight and do all that. But that's why I'm ranting now, because there's a million points on that subject.
All right.
What else is there? Go ahead and ask more questions.
That was, I think,
he's turned this around into an Alex Jones interview.
I satisfied a lot of people, because every time I go, you know, to the InfoWars YouTube page, the Alex Jones YouTube page, that's what everybody is talking about is the Zionists. So I just wanted to address.
But if you notice, we'll have 97% positive comments on average. It's 97%.
Oh yeah.
But you'll see commenters that are there for 24 hours straight. And most of those are bots. Mm-hmm. And they just jam the same thing in, jamming in. We could shut down the comments, but I think it's part of the learning process to leave them live. You just, you know, let them do it. What I don't like is on InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, where it's articles about a subject, and they deliberately go in there and try to stir people up, and then we can see the IP addresses. The same guy will have fake debates with each other.
Talking to himself.
Yeah, you know, just trying to dominate and change the subject. See, because they want people at a cocktail party or whatever to go, yeah, Alex Jones, I like him. And they go, oh, really? I heard he works for the Vatican. Instead of it being about what I'm saying, that the megabanks are announcing they've conquered us in world government. No, that's not interesting. You know, the military training and setting up re-education camps officially.
Yeah.
That's not news. Alex Jones is the news. Well, let's just say I'm the worst person in the world. Let's move past that now. What are you going to do about what's happening? What are you going to do about what's happening? Okay, because I'm busting my butt. And I'm not angry that people, some of them, fall for this stuff. I'm not angry that I get attacked. Because in a sick way, that only makes me bigger.
That's true.
I get upset for people that buy into the propaganda because it stunts them from ever moving forward. And they can just say, oh, that guy's bad, this person's fake, that person's fake, oh, they're New World Order, they're this and that. And then, oh, there's nothing we can do. And that's how you get cognitively infiltrated.
Yeah.
I can tell a lot of stories. Now that you bring it up, sometime I ought to do a whole show just on...
Do a special report, just tell your stories.
But there's so many examples. That's why I end up talking so fast sometimes, because I've got like 20 examples in my mind right now of the type of memes and the type of things that they push. Here's an example.
Okay.
Not even bad people. But I show up at Bilderberg this year. You know, I call to occupy it. 1,000 showed up over the 4 or 5 days. Mm-hmm. I get there, and there's like 10 people bullhorning. 10 people bullhorning, people talking. I'm glad they're bullhorning.
Right.
I'm coming over and putting them on the radio. That was real activist. And they had Marines in plain clothes being inserted, just like 4 years ago at the same place in Virginia, trying to get fights going. They had some of those things happening.
Right.
But it wasn't effective. Now, go back like 2-3 years ago, they're trying to shut down the Austin Gun Show. I break the story, have the guy on. But it's not like it's a big story, except that it's an attack on the Second Amendment. It's me trying to defend them shutting down a gun show that had been here for almost 2 decades and kicking them out. So I have the people on. I expose the setups. I make it an issue. Local groups, who I'm sure are nice or whatever, they go and say they're going to protest, you know, down at the police station.
Okay.
So I hear about it. I go, yeah, my listeners, everybody should go down there today. So we go. I mean, I don't get permits to go to things. You know, I stormed the Capitol twice last year. I'm not getting one. You want to arrest me? Go ahead. It's my Capitol. I'm going in. I'm going to go scream at people that want to let the TSA stick their hands down my pants.
Right.
Okay. And the legislature responded by unanimously in the House, you know, voting it out. But then the Senate killed it, Dewhurst. But now Dewhurst has been defeated in the Senate. See, it's all part of making them accountable. And polls all said they lost over the TSA issue. So we lost that battle. The TSA stayed. The feds threatened a blockade.
Yeah.
Exactly, an aerial blockade. But we are now punishing those that did it. The message is being sent. It's not about winning the war overnight. It's about battles. So I get in a rhinoceros mode. You know, I'm out at the Bilderberg. I don't have bodyguards out there. I got people threatening me, getting in my face, stuff like that. I'm just like, you know what? I'm turning my back. Do whatever you're going to do.
Yeah.
So I get pumped up at these events. So there's everybody out at Bilderberg. We, you know, we're just bullhorning, doing whatever we want. You know, everybody's going wild, fighting for freedom, got pretty emotional. It was powerful. I go storm the Capitol twice with 500 people or so each time. National news. So I'm walking down the street towards this event.
Bilderberg?
No, towards the gun of it. I was just giving examples of other events that weren't ninnied out.
Okay.
You know, henpecked out or whatever you want to call it. So I'm going around. I see live news trucks over here on the side of the police station doing live coverage. Well, I do what I've always done. I start bullhorning that it's a police state to shut down the gun show, and it's covert, non-legislative gun control. And all of a sudden, the people that had gone and gotten the permit and are around the corner, they come running around saying, basically, you're not welcome here. And I see all my listeners with T-shirts and stuff. I go, well, you can have your thing over there, but okay, you know, later I'll bullhorn or something. It's not like I mean, I'm just here to, you know, expose what's happening. I'm bullhorning the press. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, if you're nice, you can talk 1 minute at the end. Well, I have events I call and people come and just do whatever they want. So I'm like, I kind of shut up, and all these people come over of a small group and get in my face and say, you're not welcome here and stuff. And I go, well, my listeners are all here. Little kids are shaking my hand and stuff. I go,
right.
I'll just hang out. And they go, no, you need to leave. So I'm like, and I've got all the footage of this stuff. I just never made a big issue out of it. And I'm like, no, I won't leave if I don't want to. You know, it's kind of like people are challenging me. Now you're not going to run me off. And this goes on for like 3 hours. And so then they stop bullhorning, I go bullhorning, they get all mad, we're taking our little group. It's kind of like little tribal politics, and then they selectively edit it all and say, oh my God, a provocateur, and then the feds try to use that as a meme, and of course it's totally ineffectual and a joke. But I don't think that was COINTELPRO, that was just mainly locals who I've heard is there's this meme that I won't promote their events or come to it because I'm jealous. Hell, I'm so busy. You've seen me up here running around all day doing stuff, barely even seeing my family. I don't even know what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's like if I tend to ever pay attention to something local, that's my bone. You know, you don't have that. Meanwhile, I'm a rhinoceros. I mean, I'm like into the Capitol and you know, with 500 people. Nobody does that.
No.
You know, so the point is that I'm not even in their world. I mean, I'm not even, you know, engaged in that, but then I see the system weave a psyop out of that, and then, you know, I mean, if that's the best they've got, you know, to say I'm bad and stuff, it's just crazy. And then I have these people come up to me, you know, every once in a while and say, I used to really like the work you did till I saw you say kill Michelle Malkin. And I just go, okay. And they're like, no, don't you want to defend yourself? And I go, no, I'm bad. Just get away from me.
Sure.
You know, because I didn't say kill Michelle Malkin. Same thing. Denver Mint, 2008. I go over and she lied and said that I put out a fake video of a toy dog being thrown off. That's an incredible lie.
Yeah.
She said I was lying about that. It's clearly a dog. The Marines confirmed it was a puppy they killed. You know, they kicked the guy out that did it.
Threw it off the cliff, yeah.
Threw it off the cliff. And they're like, oh, look at the legs are pulled up. That's a robot. No, that's what a puppy does. So its mom can, you know, take it around.
Or the Marines get a toy dog anyway.
Well, the point is, she says it's a toy dog and I'm making it up because I'm anti-American and love the jihadis or whatever. Okay, so that's a sob. So I see her and I go over and I go, hey, you said we lied about that. That was a real dog. And one of her handlers kind of starts getting in my space, starts bumping me. And I'm like, hey, why don't you get, you know what, you put your hands on me. So then I go around and this is all going on, and these people left with her later. They were like the young Republicans that had a blog. They were dressed up as anarchists and stuff, making a joke out of it. They're screaming on tape, laughing, setting me up, going, while I'm yelling expertly. I mean, you've got to be CIA or something to know how to do this stuff. Okay. Kill her! As I'm yelling, they're saying, kill her! Kill Malkin! Kill her! And then the reason you know it's a PSYOP is within hours. It's Denver Post, national TV. Alex says, kill Michelle Malkin. And people are calling up going, Alex, you better apologize. I had to go back to the apartment we'd rented off Craigslist, edit the video, you know, grab the video off of hours we'd shot, grab it, edit it, cut it down, get it up, showing them saying it from our angle. Now, that's something I had to respond to because, you know, saying, oh, the bully. See, the feds are looking for stuff like that. How do we make him look like a bully to a woman? Well, make, you know, he's in her face. Say he was saying killer. Okay. Nobody likes a, you know, guy getting in a little woman's face.
Right.
Even if she said I was a liar and it was a robot dog. So, you know, it's the same thing. They look for things to frame it out of a three-hour thing here in Austin. Well, we'll just cut that down to 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And waiting when I got there, just like, get out of here. You're not, you know, get out of here. You're not wanted. I'm like, well, damn. All right, well, I'll leave in a little while. No, you get out here now. Well, screw you. I'll do whatever I want. You know, yeah, you know. So, I mean, it's that type of action that's made us successful. Not because we're calculated, but because we're real.
Real. Yeah.
And of course, I mean, you see the colonels and generals out there giving us all the orders. You've been told today everything to cover.
Oh, well.
I mean, Colonel Zwibbleswap told you everything, didn't they?
They got me set up and ready to go.
All right, more questions. I like the questions you're asking.
Oh, well, yes, we're doing an impromptu Ask Alex.
Well, hey, I was going to interview you. What does your family think of this move? I mean, it is a bold move coming down here.
It's a bold move.
I mean, you're here with Pumpkinhead right now.
Well, they were very excited because they know I'm a journalism major. And so this was, you know, right in my field. And like I said, I had about 16 hours, you know, left to get my degree. So actually, I left school to come down here. But, you know, it's working out for me. You know, I think it's the right.
Well, we like having you. I really like you, Jakarian. I really like Dan Bedondi. It's really exciting. I mean, everybody is so cool. Marcos Morales. We got Wes over there. We got is Dew over there. I can't even see him.
He may have left.
He's a 6.5-foot Yoda. Anyways, and... Dan, you're going to be in here tomorrow. All right. What are some other standard questions?
Oh, man, standard
questions. Got to go visit Barton Springs before the summer's over. Go swimming in the cold water. It's nice.
Okay, Barton Springs. I need to get out there. I want to go to this place you guys keep talking about, this Salt Lake place.
Oh, God, you'll end up looking like me if you start going to Salt Lake. It's like all-you-can-eat barbecue, and it's super good.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm a big barbecue man. I mean, I'm trying to...
Me too.
Ease off it a little bit, and Alex has been stuffing me since I've been out here.
We've been getting barbecue a lot, unfortunately. I like it. I can eat a ton of red meat, man. Bedondi, are you liking? Let's get Bedondi in here real quick. Stay there. Right. He can just come stand here for a minute. Come on in here, Bedondi. Here's Dan Bedondi. This is going to go for hours and hours now that we've got him in here. Come on in here, buddy. Come on right over here.
Alex?
Hey, man, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. Having fun here at Infowars.com. I mean, it's amazing. Great staff, great crew.
Can you guys hear me?
We're kicking butt here.
Oh, yeah, they can hear him. They can just turn the mic up.
Okay.
They're kicking butt here. We've got a great staff.
It's a good question, Jakarian. Can they hear him? Can you hear Bedondi?
Okay, good. Yeah, okay, good.
Tomorrow, what are you going to be covering? What have you picked out to cover?
Them attacking the parents because they're letting the 10-year-olds play outside. I mean,
you don't play outside in America. You don't have a lemonade stand.
Not at all.
You don't have a garden? What do you think this is, a free country?
Yeah.
You think this is America?
I know. When I was 10 years old,
an extremist.
I was out playing all day. I didn't come into the house until the sun came up. You know, it went down on me.
Sounds pretty evil.
It is, and it's totally tolerant what they're teaching the kids today. And it just, you know, really pisses me off. And, you know, it's my passion, you know, to tell the truth and everything. It just, you know, angers me inside. It really puts a fire in me. You know, when you see young, innocent kids, and it's more than this. I mean, you know, you got the laptops, you got the RFID chips, or you got the thumbprints for a school lunch. Or
I was reading that today. They're going to start thumbprinting kids at school to get in lunch lines.
Right in Westerly, Rhode Island, where I live, the governor allowed them to RFID tag the backpacks of the children, you know, school kids.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, it's just total tolerant. I mean, it really irks me.
Well, you can bring in a whole bunch of articles. Whatever you want to cover tomorrow, we're going to have you in here as a guest. So you bring 4 or 5 articles.
Definitely.
But get Pentagon approval for it first.
Yeah. I'll make sure I get approved from TSA and get the body scanner set up at the door. And
exactly. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks.
All right. Good to see you, Dan.
Good to see you. We hadn't seen you all day when you were out there. It's funny. We're all shaking hands. That's good. All right, teleprompter free. And look at Dew out there. We had a rotated camera around so we could see Dew drinking a tangy tangerine.
That stuff is really good. I always heard you guys talking about it. I've been drinking the pollen burst myself.
Well, I'm still a fat ass, but I did lose 40 pounds on it.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. I need to lose another like 30 or so. Hey, can we rotate a camera around so we can see Dew in there drinking his... Now, is that a rabble rouser? You're drinking a rabble rouser. A rabble rouser is a scoop of Beyond Tangy Tangerine with a pollen burst.
Oh. Yeah, they were telling me, but I'm not sure if I'm ready for all that. I'll just take it one at a time.
Hey, I had a rabble rouser.
Oh, there he is.
Look at there. Look at right there. You can't even see Dew in there.
I got my pollen burst right here, or what's left.
Product placement, InfoWarsHealth.com is the new site with the discounts on it. There you go. Look right there, folks. You can see it.
You can see it.
Look.
Well, I got some still left in there.
This is all. Look at that. Here's to Badandi. Okay, that's enough. Let's now shift to the news portion of the transmission. Here we go. All right. Let's continue here. It's going to turn into a giant frat house, I can tell you right now.
Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson.
It's a good thing you don't drink, Jakari. None of them drink either. So, anyways, me neither, too. All right. Hey, what'd you think of the Bourne movie? What's the full name of it?
Bourne Legacy?
Yeah, all of us went and saw it last night. I thought it was just amazingly accurate and good.
Well, I mean, I didn't know anything about the live viruses they injected into him, I guess to give him, his super soldier abilities. I mean, I didn't know anything about that. But it had RFID chips. It had drones. It had, hacking cell phones, emails, all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, could you say a little bit about the viruses they were injecting?
Well, sure. I mean, that's off real research. What the viruses do is they program them to destroy certain areas of the brain that would, say, have inhibition. You have like a governor in your body, so you won't try to pick up something that, say, is twice as heavy as you. You've seen the reports of a woman when her kid's under the car.
Yes, you can pick up the car a little bit.
Pick the car up because the kid's begging and squealing. I mean, that's real. I mean, that's how sometimes you see guys in the NFL that can suddenly jump over 20 people. I mean, it's just like you hit that spot and you're already, exercising, focused, and trained to do it. They have viruses that actually do that. The Pentagon admits it. They do all those testing you saw in that movie from pieces of intel and declassification. That's all real.
True.
The drugs, the viruses, the programming, the dropping guys off at the Arctic Circle, all that's done.
Oh, yeah?
That what you saw is real. I mean, I thought the first three were, like, really showing classified stuff.
This is the first one I saw. I never saw the first, was it Matt Damon?
Yeah, this is like a prequel that's following in parallel where Matt Damon comes from and, like, why they, try to kill him, but kill his girlfriend instead, and that's why he's going after him. And he's just a first-gen model.
Yeah.
Because, since the 60s, they moved past headphones and drugs and programming to tell people you can do this and to kind of turn them into, you see the part where they have one of the guys there programmed, one of the lab staff, the doctors to kill everybody, program mass shooters. I've got to do a proper review of this film. I mean, I was sitting there.
The gunman that they had to put on the screen there. Yeah, I remember that.
And how they send the fake FBI agents there that are, we're worried you're going to commit suicide. And really, they're there to kill her. And they,
spoiler alert.
Oh, yes. I mean, whoa, that's how they do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. We've got to research I guess it's Ludlam, but we've got to go back and research whoever's fine-tuning these because that movie's real.
Real.
It's like Dave Mustaine told me. He goes, you like the movie Spinal Tap? And I go, yeah. And he goes, it's real. It's based on, like, real bands, real people, things.
Never seen it.
Yeah, turning it up to 11. Man, we're covering a ton of points here.
Yeah. I mean, I like the movie, kind of breakdowns that you've been doing. I was going to ask you, I guess we can ask, live teleprompter free here, when the new Judge Dredd movie comes out, I'd like to do a review of that.
Do whatever you want.
There it is.
I mean, we're all getting, direct orders from Tel Aviv here. I mean, as long as they clear it. I mean, that's just something.
Yeah, I'll ask Janet if it's okay with her. Did you see the article that the Hell's Angels are suing Janet Napolitano?
No.
The Hell's Angels, I don't want to put anybody on the spot. I have the article on my desk. If anybody can run and get that, that'd be super cool.
Sure, just pull it up. Just pull it up. Hell's Angels.
Suing Janet Napolitano.
They sued Mr. Napolitano.
Well, what had happened was the Hell's Angels are suing, I guess, Janet, because they want to bring in some members from other parts of the world, from other countries. And Janet, I guess, is saying that since the Hell's Angels is a, you know, criminal organization, which, I mean, they have been involved in some activities, but most guys are just there.
The point is they're going to set a precedent with them where now if you haven't paid your taxes, no judge, no jury, you can't leave the country or come back in. It's controls like in Germany, checking the papers. But now it's a face scan, a license plate scan. Yeah. No, I saw the report. I meant to cover it actually today. I'm glad you brought it up. And that's where we're getting all these reporters in here is so you guys can cover all this interesting news. Because that's what this is all about, is total oppression. And, you know, the Hell's Angels certainly had engaged in some criminal activities that are nothing compared to the big banks. But
oh, there it is, yeah.
But it's very dangerous to let them set this precedent. There it is, Hell's Angels, Sue Janet Napolitano, and Hillary Clinton of her ban on members entering U.S.
Yeah. Man, this is ridiculous, Alex.
Well, I mean, it's extrajudicially, too.
Can they just say that, I mean, we all know the Hell's Angels have been involved in some, you know, criminal activity.
It doesn't matter. They're setting up a total control grid so that they can keep us from traveling. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, no. I mean, that you read pretty much the gist of
it. Let me go over it. Go ahead.
They've got a ongoing case here, a teleprompter free here, and I'm trying to read over. Let's see. The motorcycle group also seeks to have its criminal organization designation removed. So I guess if they say that you're a criminal organization, you're a criminal organization. On the other hand, the lawsuit recognizes that Homeland Security and the Department of State made an agreement to define the Hell's Angels as a known criminal organization in the Department of State Foreign Affairs manual, thus making them ineligible to obtain visa.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing's a joke. They let all the big Russian mafias, Mexican mafias in here. The government gives them guns.
Goldberg comes in, so yeah, why not?
There you go, the real global crime syndicate. Let's go ahead and hit your other stories here.
Okay, we got one here from Mail Online. Mobile phone companies can predict future movements of users by building a profile of their lifestyles. This one's from the Mail Online. Scientists have found a way of predicting an individual's future movements by analyzing information on their mobile phone. A team of computer scientists at the University of Birmingham successfully predicted future locations with an error margin of just 60 feet, which has fueled fears of privacy invasion. Skip down to the bottom of it here. The team also expressed hopes of their algorithm could be used by the phone by police forces in prediction of future location of criminal events.
There you go. Total pre-crime. And so understand, the internet surfing, where you're going, just the locator on your phone where it triangulates with satellite via the cell towers is creating, and this is years ago.
Within 60 feet.
Yeah, exactly. Over 97% accuracy when tracking individuals and 93% accuracy, this is an old number, in groups. They know what groups are going to do. That's how much they've got this algorithm down to tracking us criminally. And now they admit, oh, it's for the police. Just like the drones wouldn't be for the police, now they are. Just like the cameras wouldn't be for the police, now they are. Oh, there's no such thing as face scanners. Oh, there's no such thing as license plate readers. And the point is, this isn't some angel government using this to keep us safe. This is an authoritarian government. And right, even if it wasn't an authoritarian government, once these tools are in place, future governments, can you imagine what a Stalin, a Hitler, a Mao would have done with these technologies?
Oh, man, it would have been bad. Just like when they have these flash mobs, when a mob already shows up, they're ready for them. You know? So it was a guy who was in New York, and he was going to protest the Fed. And he put it on his Facebook page, and he gets there, and there's like 50 cops there.
Yeah, no, it's a crystal ball. You're looking into the internet. You think that you're getting information from Google, but it's really getting information from you.
Right.
And, you know, the TiVos are tracking you. Everything's tracking you. And now the CIA director has said, oh, well, we're all the new appliances. You go to the store to buy a washing machine. Yeah, I mean, my wife wanted a washing machine, and we had to special order one that wasn't all smart this, smart that, hooked into the smart meter, tracking us. Yeah, everything's coming out where you pay for it and the cost, but it's just tagged on. It's embedded inside of it.
Where we are.
Well, it's a really serious situation given the corrupt elite, these type of powers, and that's why they're so arrogant. You add that to a dumbed-down public, it's a recipe for disaster. Up next, Jakari.
All right, this one's out of the Associated Press. Alabama man fights to keep his buried wife in front yard. This is a very interesting story. James Davis said he was only abiding by Patsy Davis's wishes when he buried her outside their log home in 2009. Yet the city sued to move the body elsewhere. And why would the city want to do such a thing? City Attorney Parker Edmiston, we're not talking about a homestead. We're not talking about someone who is out in the country on 40 acres of land. Mr. Davis lives in downtown Stevenson, so I guess it matters where you live, whether or not your rights will be respected. Continuing on, after his wife died in April 18, 2009, the city council rejected Davis's request for a cemetery permit. The decision came even though the county health department signed off on the residential burial, saying it wouldn't cause any sanitation problems. So you see Mr. Davis caught in between, you know, the rock and the hard place. The city council says he can't, but the health department says he can. And you know how stringent the health department can be. So he had to, you know, forego the council of the city council and just go ahead and bury his wife. And we actually have a video of that.
Said this is where she wanted to be, and could she be put here?
Her final wish, be buried in the front yard of their home.
And I told her, yeah. I didn't think there'd be any problem.
But there was. The city council rejected Davis's request for a cemetery permit for his property. The decision came after the county health department signed off on the burial, and Davis ignored it.
Yeah, we tried.
So I was going to ask you, is it legal for this guy to bury his wife in his front yard? If he couldn't bury his wife, could he bury his dog in his front yard?
It depends on the state laws. It depends on if the city ordinances are in compliance with the state laws. But if the health department ruled that the way the city rules were written that he could do it, he should have been able to. Yeah. But it shows an obsession with bureaucrats to go after the lemonade stand or to go after the, you know, woman buried in the house she's lived in her whole life. And that's a rural area. They call it downtown. Give me a break. Looks like Mayberry. This obsession with hammering down on little people to keep us in line. That's a criminal instinct by government.
Now the city councilman made the remark, if he lived on 40 acres, it would have been different. So yeah, let's say he lived on 40 acres and he wanted to turn his 40 acres into a cemetery. If he had the proper paperwork, you know, do you think he'd be able to do something like that?
Again, it depends on the local rules. It just shows that bankers can rob trillions. Government can ship narcotics into the country. They can engage in any crime they want, and we're being ninnied and henpecked by the little control freak, you know, gaggles, gangs of bureaucrats who are, you know, arresting people that have garage sales now. I mean, government wants people in line because they know that we hate them. They know they've got a 9% approval rating on average, and they know that there is a restoration of our republic coming. And so they're trying to get all mobbed up and armed up against us.
And trying to not the whole government, just sections and certain individuals in the government.
Yeah, but more and more just really nasty people are gravitating into power positions because mega corporations are backing them for office because they'll do whatever it takes.
Puppets.
Absolutely. So it's invasion of the puppets. One last report there.
Okay, we got Georgia cops can ask for immigration papers, and we've gotten to this point in America. A federal appeals court has ruled that law enforcement officers in Georgia can run checks to verify the citizenship of any person suspected of a crime. That's very important, suspected of a crime, if they fail to provide identification themselves. The 11th Circuit Court of Appeals reversed an earlier decision from a lower court that blocked a provision in the state's 2011 immigration law that limited officers in as doing such. So, Alex, what is a law enforcement officer? Is a TSA agent a law enforcement officer?
No, they're not sworn. They're not bonded under a state or federal law. It's impersonating. But when police get outside of the law, they're impersonating.
Okay.
You see, it's a citizen arrest power. That's what the FBI has. That's what a cop has. We just form cities under state charters, and we say we want professionals to handle this for us.
Yeah.
We don't want to have to go out when there's a car wreck and move it off the road. In the old days, the sheriff would come knocking on doors, help me get this wagon out of the road.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, the police become kind of a nanny state, and they don't want you armed because they want that monopoly of force. At least that historically is the way it goes. What's happening is, because the courts and the establishment wants to bring up immigrant labor to drive down wages,
mm-hmm.
they have said, oh, illegals don't need IDs to get an apartment, but citizens do.
Speaking of that, we have a clip of Pastor Stephen Anderson, who was actually on the show not too long ago, talking about his battles with the immigration in his home state of California, and we do have that clip here.
What's up, man?
How you doing today, sir?
Good.
You a U.S. citizen?
That's my business.
Well, it's our business to ask. Are you a U.S. citizen or not?
You can ask. That's fine.
And you have to answer me, or I have to detain you until you can either tell me that you're U.S.
Well, I don't have to answer you because I have rights as an American.
Sir, go ahead and pull over there behind that other vehicle if you'd do me a favor.
No, thanks. I'd like to just go on my way.
You can go on your way as soon as you tell me if you're a U.S. citizen.
Well, you know, I didn't know that I have to go around proving that I'm a citizen. Do I need to, like, show my papers, like Nazis, or...
Immigration.
I'm not... Am I immigrating somewhere, or...
We're supposed to check on...
Is this Mexico, or...
The United States.
Huh?
Just answer the question, yes or no.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, is this Nazi Germany now? I have to show my papers?
Okay, so what is this, a Nazi checkpoint? He has to run around showing his papers. He's a United States citizen. He's not even illegal. So why would they stop somebody like
that? Well, see, that's the issue. The illegals are above the law. I mean, I see cases where the police won't even arrest them for drunk driving because the judges just let them go or give them a $10 fine. Citizens are known as complying. Americans in the past were not known, you know, to comply being pushed around. Now we have gotten so conditioned to just put up with anything that we're known as what I call the right whale. That was kind of a sweet, slow-moving whale that the whalers could pull right up to and kill. Whereas a sperm whale or something else would, you know, try to smash your ship or your boats. Yeah. So we're kind of known as the chumps. Doesn't matter whether you're black, Hispanic, white, Asian. Doesn't matter. Native American. You are known as the chump. You are known to be fed on. You are known as, you know, basically a slave. But the illegals, because they want to incentivize, bring a massive group in to then create a political army out of who will feel like they're allied with the state, they're given a free ride. You know, the IRS gives them fake IDs. Fake codes. It's kind of allows them to do all this as a form of welfare to keep them here, and then they're allowed to go free. So whereas if I'm suspected of committing a crime, driving 150 miles an hour, cop pulls me over, give me your ID, give me everything you got, blah, blah, blah. The illegals are just like, hey, I have nothing. And the cops usually let them go. And I've talked to Austin cops. I've told this story probably 50 times. I shouldn't tell it again. One night, one of the IT guys, like at 7 or 8:30 at night or so, it was about 8:30 at night, was pulling in, and he was coming in to fix something, and I was coming back to work late, and I see four police cars out there, and they've got him in handcuffs in the back for an expired driver's license. And I went, why are you arresting him? Well, we can do that if we feel like we need to, even for a, you know, no seatbelt, and so we're arresting him. And I said, but if he was an illegal, you wouldn't do that. And they laughed and they said, no, you're right. The judges just let him out and we get in trouble. And I was looking at all these cops. They're like, oh, we like your show. And I'm like, you like my show? But you're basically feeding on him.
Right.
And then I found out they'd gone in the office and walked around because he turned in here, pulled in. They all come up. They start banging on the door. He goes, there's cops out here. I don't know why. Should I go talk to him? And I go, yeah. Find out what's going on. You know, they may have the wrong address. He goes out and they go, what are you doing running in here? And he goes, well, I work here. Well, show us ID. Oh, this is expired. You were just driving this car. Up against the car. Hmm. They thought he was running from him because he turned into the office here at this office park. And the cops were all being nice, but it was a woman cop who'd arrested him. And she wouldn't talk to me. And I was kind of like, hey, what you're doing is wrong. Come on. And you know, then they were kind of bowing up and stuff. And I'm just like, whatever. You want your kid's future to be a police state. You guys are just horrible. But it was, like, funny, though. It was like, hey, we like your show. Heard this on the show the other day. But, if he was illegal, we would let him go. Because he was a big, plump, juicy, dumb American. So that's what's happening. And people are like, you know what? They have sheriffs all the time that'll stop a car, drugs, alcohol, 15 guys in a van. I had a sheriff on a few years ago from Tennessee about this.
Yeah.
Some of the guys, he didn't even know who they were, no IDs. Turned out some of them were felons. And took him into jail, you know, drunk, you name it, and ICE wouldn't come pick him up. Now Obama officially won't come pick up illegals who are caught in serious crimes.
Right.
So basically, if you're a criminal in Mexico, you can come up here and rape, kill 20 people before you get caught. Remember the railway killer?
Yeah.
He was just killing people left and right, mainly other immigrants. That's another thing. They're feeding on the illegals themselves. I mean, I'm telling you, if you were an illegal alien, you could just go around killing people tonight. And I mean, it won't even be in the news, hardly.
Yeah.
I mean, you can just do whatever you want. aggravated felons, you name it. They just released them from jail. So that's what's happening here. When you have probable cause, demand an ID. Instead, though, in New York City and places, they pull over hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people every few months or just stop you and want to frisk you right there on the side of the street. And then there's no issue. And I've seen at the airport, the TSA lets illegal aliens fly with no ID.
Really?
Or they show them a consular matricula. They're like, yeah, go on through. The illegals are just, psh, 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 psh. But some woman with that looks attractive, she's going to get a special little visit.
Yeah, to the back room.
Oh, yeah, the back room. And they're hiring convicted pedophiles to head up the TSA in places like Philadelphia and other areas and defraud priests and all this. So this is the reign of the crazies. That's what tyranny is. Tyrants getting control on top. Only criminals will carry out the crazy stuff they wanted to get done.
True. Yeah.
And so they say, come on in, criminals. Whatever your flavor is, just beat these people up and we'll give you whatever you want.
That's a good rant.
You think so?
That's a real good rant.
Well, Jakari, it's good to have you here. We've been going about, what, 45 minutes?
I see McBreen out there now.
McBreen is smiling like a Cheshire cat. McBreen, get in here. We already had Dan Badondi in here.
We've been going so long, everybody's done with their work now.
Yeah, come on in here.
Hey, one big happy family.
Come on around the back here. Now, here is Mr. Anti-Teleprompter himself.
Yeah, that's right. I hate it.
This is my coach here, McBreen.
That's right. Welcome aboard.
Thank you,
good
sir.
Good to have you.
Thank you.
So, all right, so how do we close this out?
I don't know.
We're just going to put you on the spot, McBreen. Go ahead and talk.
What do you want me to say?
I don't know. What do we McBreen do? Totally prepares for everything. It's teleprompter free, but that's why he does a great job.
One must prepare.
Thanks for hosting the earlier news portion of the show tonight.
No, that's next week. No, it's Friday. I got Friday.
All right, a little inside baseball here. Right. Hey, Inano, come back here.
Oh, what do you got?
How exciting is it to have Jakari here?
Well, it's good to have him plus the whole crew. I mean,
by the way, with you two guys, we got all the ladies watching. Of course.
Alex, you're the eye candy. We just work here.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm not the eye candy. I look like a flounder or something. But the point is all the ladies online like you, McBreen, well, and they also like Jakari.
They like the goatee.
That's right. That's it. That's pimp. Anyways, McBreen, how exciting is it having Jakari and now Mr. Badondi here?
Well, it's very exciting. We're building a team. We need more people. This allows other of us that we can put more graphics together. We can work on more stories. So that's a relief, too, as well.
This is kind of an extremist shirt here. Do you need to be sent to a mental institution? They're now arresting people for things like that.
Can you guys blur this out so I don't want Homeland Security to come get me? Just use the blur effect.
Big TSA
on this.
Over there.
Yeah.
Hold on the teleprompter. Can you reload that again? All right, let me go back to that. And I guarantee you, you're going to have a lot of great jobs after I'm done shipping them to China. I can't do a very good Barack Obama.
I didn't even know that's Obama. That's horrible.
I should probably.
Well, no, I was trying to say actually what kind of stuff he says, but yeah.
What if I put this on Facebook? They might come get me.
Aren't you glad they're looking out for you?
Man, see, I'm nervous now. I don't know. I think we should start reporting on just celebrities, just to be safe.
You think so?
Yeah.
Baby pictures?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's a story.
Oh, I missed it.
All right, McBreen, great job.
All right, I'm out.
All right, there he goes.
All right,
Jakari, any closing comments here?
It's great to be a part of the team and can't wait to meet everybody else. I know we got some more people coming in.
Let's get Dew in here. Marcos' nickname for him is Dusifer.
Dusifer.
He was tubing a few weeks ago and hurt his knee on the river. So
yeah, he told me. He told me that. He got a.
Everybody needs to pray for Dew's leg and tell him he's going to have go under the knife. You know, I can do the surgery for you if you want.
Oh, yeah, that'll be cool.
Anyways, come on in here, buddy.
Yeah, there's the bionic brace that lets me walk around.
He's been moving stuff. He's been moving furniture around all day.
Stuff I shouldn't be doing, but I do it anyway.
Yeah.
Look at this team we're assembling.
It's looking good. I'm pretty excited.
We need to bring little Perkle in here.
We got two more starters.
Who's starting next week?
Melissa Melton and David Ortiz.
Okay.
Starting next week.
I'll get to meet them. I haven't met them yet.
And then we've got.
Melton did that graphic today that you like with the.
It was crazy. I said, why isn't our website on this? Because I had them make that for the newspaper with the very same photo.
That's crazy.
But she photoshopped around the mirror. And I said, what is that? And then they're like, no, we didn't put it in the newspaper. So, I mean, that's why she's awesome. She's, like, literally not even, you know, is, like, 500 miles away and, like, knows what I want. So that's definitely, she's definitely tuned in.
And she's getting ready for a move, too, and she's still cranking out stuff and articles.
And then we've got Wes coming in when? Yeah, David Knight.
Yeah, David Knight.
Late October.
Late October. And then Linda West is coming in September 4th. I think 3rd is Labor Day. So she's
and we want to hire one other lady, but we've got to first let her finish her doctorate and stuff.
Right, right. Yeah, I haven't talked to her in a couple weeks, so I got to get back in touch with her. But things are moving. As soon as I get my leg back in shape, we'll be going. I don't know if people realize that when I was doing the news, I was leaning forward just to keep my leg in a straight position because it hurts. Like,
oh, I didn't notice that.
Sitting down in a chair doesn't feel that good. But that's what happens when you tear two knee ligaments. It doesn't feel good.
Well, this is InfoWars Nightly News, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go to break here in just a moment, and we're going to come back with Douglas J. Hagman of the Northeast Intelligence Group on martial law, financial collapse, can it be averted? So we will be right back. Don't forget, you can go to InfoWars.com/newsletter and put in your email address, and we will send you tomorrow the e-copy of the new magazine. It is very impressive. 50,000 copies of this just hit the streets of Austin, Texas, and we have got 20,000 copies that I thought would be enough, but at this rate, they're going to sell out in 4 or 5 days. So if you want to order in bulk copies at cost, InfoWarsShop.com. .com. What do you guys think of this?
Well, it's pretty cool. What I think is amazing.
Document cam.
Is that, well, you're asking McBrain. He really doesn't know how to work the.
Just start. Oh, that's right. You were running things.
I was running things.
Look at me. I'm giving orders and armies don't exist.
But what I think is amazing about this is that, Alex, we hired 6 graphic designers. Bam. Got it out in what? 2 months?
It was a month.
Yeah, I mean,
well, we hired and everything about a month and a half. Yeah,
right, right. But just like time. Getting, you got a guy to head it up. Russell is a great guy who's done his own work, and you know, just bringing him in here and putting forth a plan. I mean, this is like I think the best executed thing we've done since I've been here in terms of how quick it happened and just boom, it's out. Now it's real on the streets. Oh, look at that, McBreen.
Look at that, McBreen. I'm telling you, you know his nickname, the McBreen Dream. The Dream Graphics Person. He is awesome.
But this
I was making the joke about my wife's like, when we first hired him, she's like, who's that? He's handsome. I see the comment in the things. Anyways, the economic collapse, the crumbling U.S. economy, and the end of the world might be an important article to read.
Yeah.
It's all in there. Ladies,
I like the false flag.
How money works.
Because a lot of people don't know about all these false flags that happened in our history. That whole section on, you know, it's like Terror Storm 0.5 or something, this, you know, because you watch Terror Storm, you get all these, but this is just a good primer. This is, you know, this is the way news, and this is the way we're going to educate people, and then they're going to come to the site and get more stuff, and it's just, it's great.
Not everybody can handle, you know, some of the documentaries, but this is something nice that you can give somebody. And
then we've got this full page. Look at that bad boy.
Yeah. Full little thing. What are these things called?
You scan that, and it takes you to InfoWars.com.
Yeah. This is what all the kids do.
See them for what they are. And you could take this and hang it up around town.
Oh, yeah.
I also have one hanging up out there.
And then people go to planetinfowars.com, and then they can get, you know, organized and involved. We got a street art section on there powered by InfoWars.com.
We've been trying to get that amazing street artist on.
Look at this. You got Dr. Strangelove Bernanke riding the Federal Reserve down towards America to blow it up.
That's a great graphic right there. They just churn out stuff. It is a, and then you got profiles on the globalists, you know.
Trends Journal ad.
Yeah. Trends Journal puts out some good artwork, too. They have a really good graphic designer.
No, they did an amazing job.
Look at Nemo. Did you see Nemo in there? The little Nemo.
Oh.
Here, let's put that. Oh, look at that. McBreen's got it.
Anyway, I'll stop. Sorry. The little Nemo. Anyways, and then we've got Second Amendment stuff here.
Salente article, Mike Adams. Yeah, I mean, this is...
Big Pharma busted all their different crimes coming up.
How can you beat the writers in this? I mean, this is just amazing stuff. And we're going to be putting out...
All about the one-child policy. This is actually an early print.
Yeah.
We did a test print a few days ago. The official one was done today. So there's like some ads we put here. And there's like a typo on the front. But the main print we're sending out to everybody doesn't have that. But, I mean, it's just an incredible job for our first round here.
That's good. This is a good,
good
magazine, and I mean, we pulled it off. I can't believe it. It's great. I'm very excited.
Well, up, up, and beyond. And, hey, let's get Russell in here. Come on in here, Russell. I didn't mean to. This is all impromptu. This is what happens when it's teleprompter free.
This segment was supposed to be 10 minutes long. I was, but, hey, teleprompter free.
Come on in here, Admiral.
What do we got going on?
People all think this is all scripted, the entire thing. Look, get the teleprompter back on. Hold on.
Hey, Jakari, how are you?
Going good, man.
Right on.
Now, when I did like the Cobra Commander joke, people go, you need to have some other writers. It's funny, but could be funnier. There was no teleprompter. There were no writers. I did that on the fly.
Well, you mean when you dressed up like Cobra Commander?
Yeah. And then I interviewed myself. I just did the rant, watched it, and then did questions to it. And in here, played him as I talked to myself with pauses in between. People thought, like, oh, your comedy writers aren't that good. There were no comedy writers. It was a joke. But the same thing, you were just in there watching us, so I called you in.
Yeah.
Russell Dowden, do you know why you're here?
I do.
Come on over here. You have to get closer to the microphone. Get a mic boom or something. You've been here about a month and a half. I told you we're going to do this.
Yeah.
You put out Weird Magazine for a while, known you for 12 years. We're going to put that back out soon because I've, again, bought the publication from you. But what's it been like in the last month and a half?
It's been a roller coaster, hiring graphic designers, getting people in here, and basically just, you know, doing what we do is put a publication together. But it's been a lot of fun. And it's just been exciting. I can't believe it. I mean, I've known that you could do this, Alex, for a long time, that you could do a publication.
It's so funny. I thought about calling you so many times. I said I was going to do it. One day you just drove over to the office.
And I was like, hey, here's number 100 of Weird Magazine. What do you think? And you're like, hey, can you come in here on Friday? Be here Friday at 2:00. So I was like, okay. And here we are. 6 weeks later, InfoWars Magazine.
That quick.
So very cool.
And that's from deciding to do it, us doing a contract, hiring the people, hammering it out.
Yeah. I mean, we did good in 6 weeks.
You sure it was 6 weeks? I think it was shorter.
I think it was 5.5 weeks. It might have been 5. It's pretty. But, you know, 48 pages for your first one, Alex. The biggest Weird Magazine I ever did was 40 pages. So, you know, really my hat's off to you and our team here, you know, putting a 48-pager together. In that fast time, lots of advertising.
And I like the collector. Look.
Oh, I got it.
What is that word? Bankers plot to destory U.S. economy.
I need Darren. Bring that plate in here. That.
Yeah, but again, this was a early print. Most of them don't have this. The ones you're getting mailed don't have that. It's just funny to have little stuff like that in there.
No, I got a collector's piece for you, Alex. Last night when I left the printer, I grabbed the metal plate from that converts from the files to the actual paper. Anyway, I wanted always to get with the first Weird Magazine the plate of mine. I never got it, but I was able to do this. This is a keepsake for you.
Oh,
with the collector. This story. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get the other printer to give us the correct one of these.
Yeah, we have two printers.
And we have two different printers. But anyway, we can cut this and frame this if you'd like.
And highlight the.
Yeah. So, anyway, I wanted you to have that because I asked for it. And that's kind of a good timepiece for you to keep.
Amazing job.
Yeah.
We will frame the whole thing, man. Looks
cool.
Yeah,
we can do that too.
Or we could cut it and then have it arranged properly.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Russell.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Good job.
All right,
teleprompter free. Let's continue.
Who else is out there? I don't know. Maybe.
Hey, get you want to get some of the ladies in here? No, we can do another interview.
Sure, we can do it another time.
Yeah, we can do an interview with them or something about the paper. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it.
Oh, I was going to ask, well.
Oh, go ahead, hell, keep going.
Money Bomb. What's going on with that?
We need to do one. I've got a lot of equipment and stuff I want to do. I need to get around to launching that, maybe do it in October this time.
Okay.
And because look what we did with the other Money Bombs. We just keep building and building and building.
Now, to put you on the spot, I think I heard you say you wanted to do 10 hours of the Money Bomb. Is that correct?
Yeah.
10 hours.
I think I did it. Yeah, like 2 days, 10 hours each day. And I think, the whole thing is Think Progress, run by George Soros in the White House. The former White House chief transition officer is the head of that. They've said they want to shut down. They want our funding shut off.
Big Sis is spying on us.
Yeah, we've got Big Sis is spying on us. That's national news. So, I mean, yeah, folks, we're the tip of the spear. And if we're going to try to defeat the globalists, we're going 110%. So I don't apologize for doing a money bomb. It was listener's idea 5 years ago. Help us move to this bigger building and then move to the other side of the building and expand and then build all this and do all this and hire more people. And we've delivered on all of it. I like to promote things and pay for things just with products like ProPure and other things, but and the InfoWarsShop.com. But since Big Sis and them are very upset and George Soros about us trying to raise money, you know, they get our money through banker bailouts. Yeah. We're going to tell people that, you know, I don't want to just raise the middle of the depression $400,000. I want to raise $1 million over 2 days. Yeah, because you give us the money. It's not like we come with a gun, like the government take it from you. You know, basically up yours, George Soros. You know, we're going to raise $1 million to get up the proper satellite uplinks and all the computers and really go to the next level. Because I'll be honest, we're using switchers that cost $30,000 a piece. They are a nightmare. And the good ones cost about $200,000. And I also want to, I was reading with the Southern Poverty Law Center has like a $20 million a year security bill or something. I want to get security guard, you know, just a bonded professional armed security guard in here day and night, 7 days a week. So I think everything we've built and what we've done, we've got people that work up here at night and stuff, but I want to do that. I want to get the uplinks and other stuff in there. And you know what? You don't like us raising money? Well, you know what? We're going to fundraise off that fact. So go to hell. How's that sound? Un-American trash. I mean, it makes me sick what these people do. I'm sorry.
No, that was good. That was real good and informative. Because you originally said September, right? For the money bomb?
Yeah, but we're just running out of time.
Hey, October works for me.
This place is like the Millennium Falcon. Constantly like, no, this one goes here, that one goes there. Oh, God. Anyways, all right, Jakari, great job, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
It's good having you on board. Hey, let's just keep going. Any final comments?
No, you got to get home. You got to meet your wife. She's cooking you dinner, right?
Yep, you heard during the break her little sweetie cake calling. All right, buddy. Well, great job. Good having you on board, and we'll see Dan Badani tomorrow. We'll be right back with Douglas J. Hagman. Stay with us. I really enjoy it when the globalists try to poison us, and, well, we resist them via a free market system. Hello, my fellow info warriors. Alex Jones here, introducing you to the ProPure family of gravity-fed filters. Now, you know that the globalists are filling our water with radioactive isotopes, fluoride, lead, mercury, arsenic. And one of the few systems that can efficiently and economically remove or reduce down to non-detectable levels these poisons are gravity-fed filters. And ProPure is the top of the line. Their filters are impregnated with silver, a natural antibiotic. On top of that, they're bigger, so they filter faster. You don't have to prime these the first time you use them. It's amazing. Go to InfoWars.com and click on the shopping cart link to see the entire family of these babies. Now, the fluoride they add to our water is so tiny that most filters can't cut it out. But ProPure has their system that will, again, reduce it to non-detectable levels, almost get all of it out of there. That's also available. And if you look at the different systems they offer, the ProPure Big Brush Finish is on a stand, so it's easier on a table or at your restaurant or wherever you have it to go up with a glass or a mug and fill it up. Then there's this big baby right here, the ProPure King Large Version. Got a lot of different options that come with it. Also, they have the ProPure Big, probably one of the best values out there. And, of course, it's burnished stainless steel. And then what I use on my RV, something that's great for your hunting cabin or the back porch, is the ProPure Traveler. Small and portable, but packs a huge punch, cleans out all that garbage. They also have a glass sight spigot, so you don't have to take the top off and look in the bottom area to see how much water. You can see how fast it's filtering with this optional system. The globalists obviously are hitting us through our water. It's time to take control of our lives. It's time to not give our children and families these poisons. And these systems cut it down to non-detectable levels across the board. ProPure is the name. I only promote what I believe in. And I use ProPure in my home and my office. And I recommend that you check out the information on ProPure at InfoWars.com. We already have the lowest price at InfoWars.com on the ProPure gravity filter system. But when you add in the 10% off when InfoWarriors use the product code WATER at InfoWars.com, nobody can top it. So, again, it's a win-win-win. Stop drinking the poison water. Checkmate the globalists when it comes to your health, and support InfoWars.com and the work we're doing here. You know, many revolutionaries rob banks and things and kidnap people for funds. We promote in the free market the products we use that are about preparedness. That's how we fund this revolution against the New World Order. In our move to restore our constitutional republic and a spirit of 1776 worldwide. Check it out at InfoWars.com. ProPure, top of the line, number one, most powerful and effective and economical gravity-fed water system in the world. ProPure, available, discounted at InfoWars.com. Don't forget product code WATER to save 10%. It's the latest generation, years in development. ProPure is the name. And welcome back to the final segment of this Tuesday, August 21st, 2012 edition. He's been on the radio and the TV show a couple times with us, and listeners have requested that we have Mr. Hagmann back on the broadcast. He's breaking so much important news over at his website that we'll give you the address for here in a moment. We're going to get into a talk show host. We went and looked at the story and confirmed it that was basically kidnapped, not arrested, because on his radio show he said, they're getting ready to drop the hammer. I'm going to buy more guns to defend myself. They came in, grabbed him without a warrant, took him to a mental institution. I saw this happen to a Marine 2 days ago for saying, you know, that government was involved in letting jihadis into the country. This is the new authoritarianism where they basically use different psychological policies like the old Soviet Union to go after people. So here's the headline at InfoWars.com that links over to HomelandSecurityUS.com, our guest site. Thought police kidnap talk show host. That was my headline. They had a different headline over at the Northeast Intelligence Network that they were targeting him also because he said that he was a Christian. We're going to be going over all of that. We're going to get into Fourier documents that we've talked about the last few days. I want to get Doug's take on that. DHS monitored opposition to see something, say something program. And folks did FOIA request and found out that they are basically spying on what we're saying, what we're doing. We claim that a global government is being formed, even though it's all over the news that it's being formed. And then we'll get to the latest, the ADL. The ADL, again, there's been another police shooting in Louisiana, and they go and get the internet records of some of the friends of these suspects and go, oh, they've gone to InfoWars.com. Alex Jones is guilty. And we see this more and more and more. Why are they trying to connect us to violence when everybody knows we're trying to stop a civil war in this country? So we're going to cover all of that with our guest. But first, when he was on with us a few months ago, he brought up some of his Homeland Security sources that were saying that the word is in September, October, into late October, early November, that there's a big green light for large crises, breakdowns, rioting. And since he was on with us, we've learned of 1.4 billion rounds of ammo being purchased total now, another 750 million last week. The Army admits in manuals they're preparing for mass civil unrest, gun confiscation. So much of what he talked about is now mainstream news. So I want to pick his brain here and find out if he's got any other tidbits from his sources. Doug Hagmann is the founder and director of the Northwest Intelligence Network and CEO of a multi-state licensed private investigation agency serving many Fortune 500 clients, a 27-year veteran of conducting investigations in the private sector. He has logged over 50,000 hours of covert surveillance in his career. He's a member of the International Counterterrorism Officers Association, possesses many law enforcement-related training certifications. He's been used as a special asset of the U.S. Department of Justice, the FBI, as well as the Pennsylvania and New York State police agencies. Hagmann has performed over 8,000 civil and criminal investigations throughout the United States and is also certified in forensic discipline of bloodstain pattern analysis. And I'm going to stop right there because he goes on national TV, national radio, Fox News, Neil Cavuto, you name it. And he's got a lot of really great sources, so we're honored to have Doug Hagmann. Doug, you heard me throw out that whole smattering of issues, but First off, what is the latest from your sources? Where are things in this country right now dealing with stage collapse, economic implosion, war? What are the Obamanoids planning?
Well, thanks for having me on, Alex. And I got to tell you, first of all, from what my source is telling me, telling us, the economic collapse here in the United States is not a matter of if, but when. It's a virtual certainty. And we basically, what is going to be the trigger mechanism that's going to perhaps initiate some sort of martial law or martial law light, travel restrictions, whatever it might be. Things are pointing towards an economic collapse or something on a national scale. The information that we have suggests that Obama is not going anywhere for this election. In other words, you know, he's digging his feet in. He's planning on remaining president. One thing my source did caution me about, and I heard you mention this, I believe it was yesterday, is these plans by the globalists, they're fluid, it's an asymmetrical war that we're experiencing. And I was cautioned by my source, hey, don't get too hooked on any one particular method of operation because of the asymmetrical nature of this of the globalist agenda. It could very well be, despite Obama's wishes not to get, you know, leave and if he would lose, it could very well be where Romney could step in and take over the agenda, which would be a perfect method of making people like me look crazy and advancing, lulling people into sleep and then advancing the globalist agenda. And I think you touched on that yesterday, during your program. So, you know, but according to my source, you know, they're buying the bullets for a reason, the ammunition for a reason. And it's to be used against the citizenry of this country.
Well, yeah, it's 10 times any previous year purchase. I mean, you don't need 1.4 billion rounds for domestic agencies.
That's right. Yeah, and I've seen people try to excuse the purchase by saying, well, it's an acquisition order, it locks in the price and what have you. But compared to historical events, no. This is exactly what it is, what they say it is. So, you know, and you pointed out too the various other aspects of things where they've taken they've got these armored pillboxes, so to speak, or these armored checkpoints and so on. So combine all of this together and you know, connecting the dots, it doesn't take a genius to really see where this is all headed. It's just, again, the objectives are the same, but the plans are fluid. That's the
sure, they can throttle up or throttle back. And I think I was raising some of the guests you've talked to, some of the big stories, and I was saying, no, this is very credible what Hagman's saying, but you never know what the higher-ups are going to do. And I think we saw a turning point. I've talked to some establishment folks. Even the power structure is so scared of Obama and the mafia around him that when you have Newsweek come out and say, hit the road, Obama, on the cover, and say, we don't want you anymore, that's the system signifying that if they put him back in, it will cause such an awakening that they'll even lose trying to go to martial law. But if they try to keep the gains they've gotten with Romney, who gives us different rhetoric, then they can move forward, but albeit slower. But I was pointing out that itself is a victory to realize that everything they've tried to do is basically blowing up in their face. But I mean, since you were on a few months ago talking about your source, we have similar sources, it's all come out in triplicate that what you were saying was true. I mean, talk about some of that, not just the pillboxes, the bullets, but what about all these army manuals on their own sites with re-education camps and gun confiscation and telling local police, get ready for war? Yeah, that's my next question for you. Now, what are your police and military sources saying? Because I know you've broken a lot of big stories over the years with your contacts. You probably have more than I because you really focus on that area mainly. Because they're telling them, get ready for IED attacks. They're telling them, you will fight the conservatives and libertarians. They're telling them the new terror threat is the American people. That's now gone out in the open, not just in covert documents that we were seeing years ago. What's going on there? Are they trying to start a civil war?
Well, yeah, and I think that we're seeing this in a number of different levels. First of all, you're seeing the federalization of the municipal police departments, the paramilitary influence of the municipal police departments. I've talked to police officers who've said, look, they're giving us money, they're giving us funding, that they, being the federal government, to buy these armored personnel vehicles, these various high-caliber weapons. But the catch is, you know, as a police force, are going to be under their command. And that's a fact that's sweeping the country right now. And, you know, there is a preparation. There are preparations for civil unrest. And you've reported on the, as I have, on the urban training exercises. Look, there's no reason. And people have to understand. There's no reason for people, for police departments, or for the military in particular, to train in an urban area, an urban setting anywhere in the United States. They're training our military overseas to kick in doors when they don't even kick in doors in Afghanistan. So all of this together, you know, again, look, it's all coming together.
It's pure acclamation. I mean, they're doing urban warfare drills everywhere and now admitting it's for America. The Secretary of the Army 2 months ago in the CFR said, we want troops in every city.
Right. Yeah.
So they're getting ready for the people to say no to a tyrannical government.
Exactly. And, you know, there was this big the big push for all this is all conspiracy. Well, it's pretty hard to argue your point that this is a conspiracy when you're standing 5 feet away from a military vehicle parked on an American street. So, you know, now we're seeing this, as you say, the acclimation, or we're seeing this intentional conditioning of the American public to get used to seeing military on the street, to get used to seeing this paramilitary. I mean, look, you drive through New York City, as we've done, we do quite frequently. It looks like the army is there. You know, they've got the weaponry, it's crazy to see this. So, you know, all of this together. And you brought up a good point too, about the civil unrest. And right now what the agenda is to blame people like you and people like me with fomenting this chaos. Because my source told me initially back in April, May, look, there's going to be chaos. There's going to be social chaos. There's going to be they're going to exploit the racial divide. They're going to exploit the economic divide and so on. But they're also going to be blaming people like you and like me for things such as talking on the radio and encouraging a revolution, encouraging violence.
Well, you said that at the time. And now, even though we say the opposite, that whoever shoots first loses, they just keep saying that no. Talk radio in general, they tried to say, caused the climate for the shooting in Colorado. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, and we're kind of flashback to the 90s when Clinton was president. You saw that whole talk radio thing with Limbaugh and Clinton, around the time of Oklahoma City. Well, we're seeing a resurgence of that, except on steroids now. And the one thing we have to remember, too, I just want to mention this. I was talking to author Marika Peshman the other day, and she reminded me, she's the author of The Whistleblower, but she reminded me the Clintons really never left power. And the influence that they have in the White House, in fact, is extremely huge. So we're seeing the same template just revised to the time and revised to the person.
Oh, yeah. Obama is completely their front. Well, I'm asking a lot of the questions here, but specifically, before I get to some of these other issues, what is the lay of the land right now from your research, your sources, your perspective? Where are we right now? I mean, are things going well for the Obamas and their foreign banker and Clinton controllers, or are things going badly? When do you expect them to try to implode things, or what can make them back off?
Well, it's interesting because this is consistent again with what I heard you say. I believe it was yesterday or sometime here within the last couple of days. There's a problem with Obama, and I'm not sure if the globalists are, or if the people, his handlers, shall we say, are too happy with him right now. Obviously, Obama himself is not happy, but there's a problem there. I'm getting from my DHS source. There's some discord, not only in the White House, but between the Department of Homeland Security and various other departments, the Department of Justice and the FBI, where Obama's kind of looked at as right now being a little bit unpredictable and unmanageable, which leads me to think, hey, perhaps maybe now, you know, they might go with another globalist, like a Romney-type thing or whatever. But what I've been hearing is the objectives, the agenda is the same, and that is to destroy our sovereignty, to take over this country. Again, the bankers are behind this. The globalists are behind this. They're using the military, the paramilitary, as assets to take over this country. And I know it sounds like a crackpot theory. I know it does. But we're living it. We're seeing.
Well, it sounds crazy to say Germany would invade Poland and France. It sounds crazy yeah. to say that we would have the Vietnam War. I mean, we are now at a crossroads. We are now at a point where all of this craziness is unfolding. Now, going back to this, all the preparations I see does point towards what you said your sources are saying. They're intending to stay in, and they've gotten Facebook, and they've gotten Twitter, and a bunch of these other moguls have said they're giving all their data to Obama and these databases, and there's a lot of talk about hacking the election or Obama trying to steal it. And again, I'm not here saying Romney's going to save us either. The point is there is somewhat of a power struggle, though, over which, you know, element of the criminal cartel gets to be in control. So elaborate on that stunning statement and flesh that out, what your source was saying, that Obama is intending to stay in.
Well, and again, I first really heard about this back in April, where Obama's digging his heels in, and of course, Valerie Jarrett is kind of the impetus behind this, where everything is Obama. It's Obama's agenda, and we have to look at, you know, what happened in the 60s. The very people who were protesting back in the 60s are in power today, or at least influence that power structure under Obama today. And one thing that we're seeing right now is you've got a black man, so to speak, in the White House, and you've got this communist philosophy that he is advocating and pushing. He's got a job to do. He wants to, and he told us in the beginning, he wants to fundamentally change America. Well, my DHS source is saying, look, everything that we've been seeing here, or he's been seeing with respect to the DHS, is Obama, and I'm kind of expanding on your question here, but Obama is attempting to create his own police force, attempting to create, and by the way, there's a lack of trust by Obama with some of the intelligence agencies. So he's actually creating his own, if you will, intelligence agency within the intelligence agency. And I don't know if that makes sense or not.
No, sure. I mean, he's creating his own junta, you would call it, or the right. people that control him are, and that's what they're using, TSA, Homeland Security, all of this. And we're sitting here watching this Orwellian military, paramilitary build up against us. I just don't see him being able to get away with it. I think even the power structure itself, elements of it that aren't completely insane, understand for stability reasons that Obama needs to have the brakes put on him.
Well, that very well may be. Again, you know, it's in talking with my source, I do know that, again, the plans are fluid. The objectives are the same, but the plans are fluid. They are, the DHS is being responsive to the requests, like from Jarrett and from Napolitano, or acting on the requests from Valerie Jarrett through Napolitano. And again, the plans are changing. They could change, you know, within a matter of hours or days. But again, the objectives are the same. It's not just about Obama. Obama is the conduit for which.
Sure, he's useful, you know. Because, well, just like with the tragic events with Trayvon Martin, it later came out the Justice Department had groups in there trying to foment something. You could turn on the news and see that was happening. Get us fighting with each other so the globalists can carry out their operations. But Obama was to be their savior. He was to sell the whole agenda. Now that has basically blown up in their face, like you said, it's a very fluid situation. But overall, I would look at the events that are taking place, and I think it points towards people waking up. I mean, separately, you have the head of Homeland Security for New York filing this lawsuit with all these witnesses ready to testify about bizarre lesbian escapades at the Department of Homeland Security and the bizarre domination of men. I mean, I see that as another attempt to try to slow down these people.
Yeah, and I asked my source about that because I was curious about the extent to which this is taking place. And the information I got is basically you don't know the half of it. That's what I was told. You don't know the half of it. It's a perversion palace under this Napolitano, General Napolitano. And I've got to tell you, it's the morale. It affects morale. It affects performance. And it's having a very toxic effect on the very people that go into the Department of Homeland Security or are assigned to DHS, you know, with the idea that, hey, I'm going to be doing something good for my country. And, yes, I'm going to uphold the Constitution. Well, they don't want those kind of people. And that whether that's a collateral effect of what they're doing or whether that's the intent, that's the result.
Well, they treat us like they're a guerrilla force because that's what they see themselves as, and they want to demoralize this country. They want to do everything in our name while we get the blame for it, and then while they set the precedent to get away with anything.
That's right.
But I don't see that working anymore. Most of the police I talk to are now waking up. Military's been awake for a long time. That brings us to our next issue. Back when some police officers were killed in Pittsburgh by a white supremacist who it turned out was a big enemy of mine for whatever reason, they tried to connect it to me, the Southern Poverty Law Center and others. When it came out that the guy was actually attacking me, that I wasn't his hero, they had to retract it. Now the ADL, with his two officers killed down in Louisiana, has tried to connect it, saying, well, one of the shooter's friends, you know, had said he liked Alex Jones on his Facebook. I mean, who knows if that's even true? From your perspective, what should I be thinking when I constantly see this drumbeat that I'm going to cause violence when I'm always calling for the opposite of that? Because, I mean, I know the globalists genuinely want violence. They want to paint political debate as violent. Why do you think... Or do your sources have any info about what's happening? I mean, I know that you had some information also. This dovetails with a FOIA request that was done at one fusion center, just out of hundreds, where people see my website posted somewhere and they call the threat fusion center to see if it's terrorism, and they say, oh, that's just the conspiracy theorist. He claims that there's a world government. And then, I mean, the fact that they're following my website, reading the comments, and the most inane stuff, you know, they're having Homeland Security meetings about. How does all this go together, Doug Hagman? I mean, I hate to get you on and ask questions about myself, but I want your perspective on this because it's pretty darn creepy.
Oh, it is. And you know, you're front and center in this, in that particular war. I have to mention this. I mean, we've got a radio program at night, and Steve Quayle, who you know and have had on as a guest, he was on our radio program. Well, in Kansas City, there was a family, a man and woman and some kids, and the kids were in the Walmart parking lot in a car, found duct taped. Their mouths were duct taped, and they were duct taped, and while the parents were in Walmart shopping, and it turns out this guy, when police were called and responded, this guy said, oh, they're demon possessed, and according to this man who was a drug addict, allegedly, and also allegedly had no sleep for like 9 days and perhaps had some other mental issues, stated that he was told to, you know, bind up the children and duct tape the children because of instructions from Steve Quayle, for example. And this is the same thing, more or less, that happened to you. And we're seeing this happen to other people where, out of nowhere, the blame is being cast. You're being put in the crosshairs. Other truth tellers are being put in the crosshairs. And I believe, and again, according to my sources within, my one source within DHS, this is exploiting a tactic. This is a way, for example, if there was an incident, a shooting, or a kidnapping or whatever, they're attempting to demonize people who are attempting to get the truth out to the American public and say, look, you're not telling the truth. You're exacerbating the situation. You're causing this to happen. You're creating the situation. And again, you know, any time that they could take a swipe like that at you, they're going to. And as you've seen, they have. Steve Quayle the same way. Me the same way. This is a tactic that's being used. You had the talk show, a young man who has a talk show host, his own talk show host on Blog Talk Radio. They picked him up on a 302 in Pennsylvania, which is an involuntary commitment, because he dared talk about what the government is doing. And right now we've seen this historical abuse of psychiatry. This was common back in the Soviet Union, back in the 70s and 80s.
And by the way, I mean, as you know, you published the article, he has the files. They said it was mental illness, that he was Christian.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. And see, and when people realize that over one-third of the political prisoners in the Soviet Union back in the 70s and 80s were locked up in psychiatric hospitals, this is what is going on today. They're using the model from the Soviet Union.
Hitler did that, too. That's how it all started, was right. This medical tyranny, because it was outside of the courts. And there's no real precedent there except for tyranny. They're like, oh, we're just here. No warrant, no nothing. On your radio show, you said to get ready for the collapse, get firearms. Well, government's buying firearms and digging in. You'd be crazy if you weren't getting prepared to protect yourself from looters or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Alex, look, they can do that. You can't. I can't. We can't. We're the peasants. I mean, you know, and if we dare do this, or we dare suggest that we prepare, then we're paranoid. We suffer from, and I just heard this term, when I was looking through this historical overview of the Soviet Union and stuff, sluggish schizophrenia. And two of the, symptoms are, struggle for the truth and perseverance. Okay, now,
wow, so George Washington had sluggish schizophrenia.
Exactly. And it's so, it's amazing to see this. But this is what's taking place right now. So this is a very effective asymmetrical war that's being waged against the American people. And I think people, as you mentioned, people are waking up to this. And thanks to you and thanks to all of us. I mean, people are starting to see this is going on.
Well, let me raise that. You talked to a ton of police. From what I've seen, they're really starting to wake up. They're like, this is crazy, but it's really happening, because they're announcing the world government on the news and saying foreign bankers now own you. It's in Time Magazine, Newsweek, television. But then they're like, but you told us for decades these guys were crazy. I think there's a collapse in confidence. That's why they're hitting the panic button and may get rid of their puppet Obama and put in Romney, because they think that'll make people go back to sleep. I mean, what are you seeing with police?
No, I'm seeing the police I talk to, and I talk to a lot of police officers from multiple states on a daily basis, especially in the Northeast. And what I'm seeing is there's really two parts. There are what I'll call the normal police officers, the police officers that have been around. They understand the Constitution. You know, they are about protecting and serving the public. And then there are the other police that come back, perhaps from a couple of tours overseas in Afghanistan and Iraq. You know, they're the soldiers on steroids. They get into a position of power in the police department, and they're pushing the older, more protect and serve type out. And this is what this is what's taking place. But in the meantime, the older crowd, or the people who are, or the police who are actually involved in protecting and serving the public, are saying, hey, this isn't right. But then again, they're also the same ones that are facing maybe 2-3 years from retirement and being told, look, if you don't go along with the program, we'll just you can exit stage left right now. We'll send you out right now. I mean, they're not even giving them the chance of a desk job. It's just, you could take it or leave it. And if you leave it, you know, there goes your pension. So it's really kind of we're at a critical point here.
Well, I've looked at all the angles. If the ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center, the federal government run by Big Sis and all of them, if they're able to maneuver the American people and the police into a fight with each other, which is what's being set up here, I mean, it is going to be absolutely hellish.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I think the establishment's wish to intimidate the public with the police and scare us to not have InfoWars.com stickers or Ron Paul stickers, I'm seeing the opposite effect. So the bully is really pushing it too far. My concern is, if this does go into a conflict, it doesn't gain anything for liberty to have a bunch of dead cops. So I hope the roid heads out there realize that that they're being manipulated. But, you know, I guess they pick a lot of these guys because they're followers. They're compartmentalized. They'll do what they're told. I mean, I've run into some of these guys that are like robots. They're not even bad people. They're just stupid. And I'm just really concerned. I mean, do you agree with my analysis, or do you have any caveats that the system would like some type of shooting war to start? Because they're painting those of us that love liberty and are aware of the takeover as terrorists that want to kill cops. So the cops are being brainwashed about this. They're trying to get them in an aggressive posture. And that if they can get... And so then it starts this animosity back and forth, and pretty soon you've got a fight. Well, I don't want this fight to happen.
Yeah, no, I agree with your analysis, and I think that that's what's taking place, and you don't want the fight to happen, and no sensible, reasonable human being wants the fight, because it'll be bloody, it'll be the worst thing, and, you know, it'll be much worse than anything we've ever seen before. But unfortunately, you know, again, what we're seeing here is an attack on our liberties. We're seeing an attack, I mean, a massive full frontal attack, as well as an asymmetrical war against us. And, you know, as much as you say, look, I don't want a shooting war. I don't want that chaos. I don't want to fire the shot. As much as you say that, they're on the other side pushing, well, no, we're going to foment this chaos. We're going to take it. We're going to exploit that. Remember that Trayvon Martin case? We're going to exploit that. You know, remember the shooting at the White House? We're going to paint that as a racial incident, that some white guy was shooting at the White House. And they've done that with the shootings in Colorado and the temple. I mean, it's just it's you know, it's the same game plan.
Well, I don't see it going very well, and I just want to say this on record right now. If the globalists start the civil war, when we take America back, long after I'm gone and probably you're gone, we need to make sure that whoever makes it through this, that we go, no matter where it is worldwide, and bring these globalists to justice before a court of law.
Absolutely.
All of them. George Soros, all of them. Yes. I mean, they are seditious. I mean, George Soros admitted on 60 Minutes, and they fought to take it off the web, that he worked with the Nazis going and collaborating to pick people up in Romania. And then this is the guy I find everywhere with Think Progress wanting to shut us down and Media Matters. I mean, we're like, man, they really are like evil. And yeah, they are evil. I mean, the guy was 14 years old helping hunt people down to get their money for the Nazis. I mean, it's just so bizarre. It's so over the top that we've really got these dirtbags running things.
Exactly, and I think you're absolutely right. I think that whether it's during our charge or not, you know, if we are gone, and, you know, by that point, these people have to be brought to justice, or whoever might be, you know, in power at that point, because this is a war against everything that we stand for and everything that our forefathers had fought for. And you know, I'm not trying to make a speech or anything like that, but I'll tell you what, it's to the point now where it's becoming so transparent, as you point out, so transparent. Yeah, I think now, and I'm wondering, Alex, if they really expected this awakening, or if they underestimated, underestimated the population, the awakening of the masses.
To everybody out there, you cannot collaborate with the globalist. And just as Doug Hagman was just saying, there's no making a deal with the devil. These certainly are times that try men and women's souls. And as you said, Doug, everything that this republic stands for is under attack. Every form of basic liberty is under attack. We're dealing with flaming, out-of-control tyrants who want to dominate. That's what this is all about. And people, you need to choose a side and then really fight for that side. And the fools out there that end up going along with this out of fear, or rationalizing. I mean, I can't believe how transparent it's gotten. I can't believe that it's really happening. I know why people are in denial out there, but it's in your face. Closing comments, Mr. Hagman.
Well, I think the next 90 days, through the election and into the new year, I think is going to tell the tale, Alex. I think we really have to be careful, first of all, in the run-up to the election and look what happened. You know, we're going to have to see what happens, of course, with the election, with the cadre of lawyers that Obama has in the event it's close, anything that could possibly derail the normal succession of power, or turning over the keys from one to another, or perhaps we have to look at the possibility of an economic collapse or a war situation, something to suspend perhaps the elections if that's in the cards. I don't know. It's certainly a wild time, a wild ride, and everyone needs to be prepared, buckle their seatbelts, because who knows what's going to take place.
Well, one last question. Do you have any info from your sources on the time frame? We've talked about that late October, early November, obviously October surprise. But I've never seen the police and military running around like a disturbed anthill, stockpiling food, weapons. We've talked about all that. I mean, they're really gearing up for something big. I mean, is it the Iran situation? You've got all this mainstream news admitting collapse. But will that just be a way to get more power for the banks? I mean, what's your source saying on the time frame?
Well, with respect to the time frame, war, whether it be war or economic collapse, we're looking at, perhaps early as a couple of weeks, as late as a couple of months. Again, it's a fluid situation, but you're right in one thing, and this is verified by my DHS source. They are preparing for something, and something big, and something to take over, national big. So whatever it is, it's not going to be a small, localized, small in geography or small in nature. It's going to be huge. And I've never, and my source as well, has never seen the preparations, the level of preparations that are taking place right now.
Massive rehearsals for cordoning cities, taking over areas. I mean, I see it all in the John Warren Defense Authorization Act 2007, where it says if the states are insurrection or the governors, the governor council takes over. I mean, I really, if you look at the architecture of it and reverse engineer it, it's for stopping states saying no to a traitorous government. Maybe if Obama just claims he wins, or maybe, it's a takeover program. The question is, what is the excuse for the takeover, and can we politically expose this so they back off?
Well, certainly, I think there's that chance, Alex, and I think that, we're all working toward that goal. But then again, what's the alternative? You've got the other side of the coin, Romney, the same coin, and always, you've got the differences between two evil. Evil is still evil. Okay, and that's the whole thing. They both work for the same masters, the globalists, if you look at their agendas. So, we're replacing one evil with another. One might take a little bit longer, in their agenda. The other might have been a little bit more expedient, but
doesn't signify a victory that they're preparing. It looks like to replace Obama with Romney. I mean, does that at some level at least signify that they're having to rearrange puppets?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think that we saw that, especially with the Newsweek cover, that was a really in-your-face kind of maneuver. I think that shows that yes, the awakening is making a difference. On the other hand, they still have their man in. When I say their man, it's part of the same mechanism, part of the same globalist machinery. So, it does say that, but they're also resilient and again, as I mentioned before, pretty fluid in their plans.
Well, all that said, we got front row seats to it, and hopefully all of us will get off the bench and get out there and fight. Doug Hagmann, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, Alex.
All right. Well, that was a very informative interview. Hope you get it out to your friends and family out there so that you can have this debate and this discussion. And I don't want to be proven right about all this, that we're sliding towards this. Okay, I want to defeat this. I want to turn this around, and I know you've got the power to get that done. So thank you so much, Doug, for being out there, and of the crew. And I want to thank Jakari Jackson for being on the show earlier today. Don't forget, if you want to get your free e-copy of this, where you can turn the pages and click on the links and everything, the new InfoWars magazine. Sign up at Infowars.com/newsletter. Or you can simply go to Infowars.com. On the right-hand side, you see my mug up there, and it says get the free newsletter. Click on that and just put your email in. That's all the info you got to give. A name is optional, and then the email, you know, is tailored to your name, like, hi, Bob. There it is. You can go there to Print 2.0, Answer to the Internet Kill Switch. That article's up. You can click on that, and it has links. Or you can click on the InfoWars Insider link to get daily news blast, exclusive videos, and a lot more. But now, once a month, you will get this free, the digital copy. If you want to buy copies at cost, 10 of them for $9.95, and you can get, 100 of them? Is it for $74.95? All those prices are up at InfoWarsShop.com. And by the way, we printed 20,000 of these. 50,000 were put on the streets of Austin as a beta test, but 20,000, and it looks like at this rate we're going to sell out in a couple days. People are really responding to this, and I'm extremely excited about that. So get your order of 100 or whatever right now at InfoWarsShop.com. 10, 20, 50, 100. In fact, I forget all the numbers and the exact prices. If you guys could click on InfoWarsShop.com, you can click right there, and it'll take you to a page that has all the prices. If you go to InfoWarsShop.com, you can get 9 for $9.95, 20 for $19.95, 50 for $49.95, and that's at cost. And then we are doing it for people that order 100, $74.95. That's actually below cost. I'm that crazy. And people are responding. At this rate, in just 2 or 3 days, it's going to sell out. We just started selling them this afternoon. People have been waiting for this. Because you give somebody this that shows D.C. on fire, Rome burned, will we, that economic collapse, banksters plot to destroy U.S. economy, banking cartel conquers America, why the government stages terror attacks. I mean, you give them this, hey, here, boom. They really pay attention. So it's a tract, basically, to wake people up to the New World Order. And this is just our first edition. It's going to get better and better. Very, very proud of it. Very, very thankful to all the sponsors that are in there as well, who made it possible, and also those of you that are purchasing it. Though you're not really making it possible because it's at cost, you're making it possible to wake people up. We want to be able to make this self-sufficient just with the advertising money. And we've been able to do that so far. So InfoWarsShop.com or 888-253-3139. Okay, that is it for this edition of InfoWars Nightly News. Again, as I said, great job of the crew and Jakari Jackson. How exciting having him in here in studio with us. And tomorrow night, Dan Bedondi, one of our new reporters, first two to get down here. We got four more coming. Very exciting. All right, that's it for InfoWars Nightly News. Teleprompter free. It's why I keep running on at the mouth like a motorboat.